I know I told you to be in the room at 1:25 and we're going to start at 1:30. So there's still 5 minutes. But all those people are late because it's 1:26. So those of you that are in your seats at 1:25, give yourselves a hand. Good job. You were on time. Okay. We are going to move into a very important topic. And this particular topic and experience that you're about to walk through is GEMS Reloaded. We're going to get deeper on GEMS. You are going to learn how to pull the best out of your people. You're going to learn, this exercise is going to start you in the beginning of learning how to speak the language of all four GEMS. You're going to learn the 93% nonverbal part, which is what all of us communicate in all the time. 93% of all communication is what? Nonverbal, okay? So you're going to learn to pick up the nonverbal communication. You're going to learn the visual part of each GEM. You're going to learn even how they shake your hand. So even with a simple handshake, you might be able to pick up what GEM the person is, okay? So this actually is launching what we'll be doing for the next 2.5 days because we're already halfway through the first day, okay? So you're going to learn language, you're going to learn body language, you're going to learn the facial expression, your eyes are going to be open in a brand new way, your ears are going to be cleared out in a brand new way. How many of you, when you went to First Step Success, GEMS changed your life? Awesome. So how many of you have been applying GEMS? How many of you applied it to your work life? Who applied it to your home life? Okay, now I have a question for you. What have you done in the last 4 weeks since your Atlanta First Steps to Success? Who was in Atlanta? Wow, a lot of you are in Atlanta. What have you done in the last 4 weeks? Someone said I pressed play every day. That's awesome. I'm proud of you for pressing play every day. That's really important. Who else pressed play every day since Atlanta? Okay, good job. How many of you? No, mostly is not I did it. Mostly does not ever count. It's either I did, a bitch, either I did or I didn't, period, right? It's I did or I didn't. Now, if you did, that's awesome. If you did some of the time, good for you. Now let's get it done. Right? The only way we get things done is by making a commitment and following through with it. But I want to know, what have you done in the last 4 weeks? What results have you gotten in the last 4 weeks since First Step Success? Since the last time you and I were together, if you were in Atlanta, what results have you produced? Write them down right now. Feeling a little pucker power there? You should. You should. You didn't think I was going to ask you that question. This is not a hangout place. This is serious. There's 100 million lives that we have a goal and a mission to help bring change. 100 million people who are suffering greatly from all over the world. People who are on the verge of getting a divorce. I just heard last night of a couple who've been married for 40 years who do marriage conferences who are getting a divorce. Pastor and all. Have ran a counseling service for 30 years, and they're getting a divorce. I have no freaking idea. I have no clue why. The point is, 100 million lives out there are on the verge of divorce or suicide, financial ruin. Their health is a mess. Their lives are a mess. And we have a vision of impacting their lives and helping their lives to get better for the rest of their lives so that they don't turn around and pollute another 100 million lives, but instead they infect the next 100 million lives for the better. That's what we want to do. So that's a huge problem. 100 million people. Like there's 7 billion people out there that many of them are suffering in a great way. So we have to step up. The world is crying out for leadership. The world is crying out for people that are actually going to do what they say they're going to do. The world is crying out. The earth is groaning for true leadership. People who are authentic, that make a commitment, follow through with the commitment. Authenticity today is actually people who their yes is yes and their no is no. There was a time in our world that it wasn't that way. Everybody was like that. But today, We live in a place where we can make a commitment and not follow through. We can book a ticket for creating a dynasty saying, yes, I'm making that 2% decision, and then find every excuse not to make it happen. So I hope you feel some puckering when I say, what have you done? What results have you gotten since the last time I saw your face? Mr. Zuschnitz, have you been tracking? Good job. Oh, he's not over there yet. He's late. Yeah, hi. Wait, did you name me Margaret or Martha? Which was it? Martha. Martha has a question for you. Have you been tracking since Atlanta? Both of you have been tracking. That's awesome. What did you learn from your tracking? I suck at closing. Did you already have a hunch that you sucked at closing? You just didn't want to look at it. But see, what happens when you start tracking and now you have to see it, what are you coming here this weekend to focus on? Closing, developing the closing skills. Just so happens that I have it in me to make sure we hit that sucker again and again and again this weekend. You guys are all going to become lean, mean closing machines this weekend. You're going to be lean, mean closing machines. And this Gems Reloaded is going to show you how to do that. Closing will no longer be your weakness. It is going to become your strength. What did you learn in your tracking? Rogelio, was I close? Rogelio. Cool. I could still be Martha, though. Go ahead.
I learned that I took the whole year that I did a track, and I started taking every file that I started keeping for every client.
Yes.
And I kept three months, brought them down and found out that I had 98 clients that I had met up to a month ago.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So that's over a 20% closing ratio. That's phenomenal. So he found they had a 20% closing ratio. So 70 said no, 28 said yes. From tracking. Huh? That's higher than 30%. Yeah, higher than 30%. 30% closing ratio. Nice job. Nice job. Yes, it's good to go back and look, isn't it? Okay, so let's get into this. What I need is our brand new people who have never been here before at Creating a Dynasty. I'm looking for where all the sapphires are. Sapphires, first time sapphires, stand up. First time sapphires, okay? First time creating a dynasty, sapphires. Yeah. All righty. Now, here's what I want to know. Now, remember I said that you have a primary and a secondary gem, right? I'm looking for the sapphire that you even wonder if there's anything else in you. Okay? That your sapphire is so dominant, and it's like super obvious, like loudly obvious. Let's see. So now I only have three or four. Someone's pointing at this one. Oh, with the blue hair. That might be a good start. Yeah, come on over. Yeah, the woman in the blue hair would be a good one. Okay, now, first timers, pearls, stand up. Okay, first timer, pearls. Now, what I'm looking for the first timer, pearls, by the way, welcome to Creating a Dynasty. We're so happy to have you. And the sapphires that just stood up. Okay, so first-timer pearls. I would like to know who that you don't think you really have much of anything else in you. Like, it is where you are dominant most of the time. Like, really, really strongly. Let me see. Okay, the tilting of the head kind of leans towards something sometimes. Hold on, I'm still. Did you say, oh, Digby? That's Digby over there from Australia. She's looking around, me? Me? Really? Do you feel like you're really dominant, Pearl? Yes. You're not super strong, Emerald, on the other side? Not like totally organized and like procedures and policies? Then get up on here with me, please. Come on up. I would love to have you up here with me. Yeah, you're going to come up here right now. And the Sapphire is going to come up here right now. How are you?
Great, how are you?
I need a hug.
Yes.
You're adorable. How are you?
Hi.
I'm Danny. Nice to meet you.
I'm Jane.
Hi, Jane. It's so awesome to have you here.
Don't I get a hug too?
Yes, of course. But I wanted a longer hug. OMG. Okay. Now what I need is our Emerald first timers. Emerald first timers. Okay. And I would like the women to sit down. And I am looking for a man that is like hard to the core Emerald first timer. Like hard to the core, to the bone. Okay. Oh, that hard to the core? Okay, what I'm looking for is that you're not like strong ruby secondary. I don't want a strong ruby secondary. And I also don't want a strong, I mean, I want your primary, I want that primary to be so primary, meaning your underwear is color coordinated. Just looked. Okay. Like even you're a germaphobe. You're close to a germaphobe. Oh, there's still some that, okay, but wait, they're judging the germaphobe from their perspective. Okay, so it looks like I have two standing and that's it. All right, yeah, he's not quite thinking this is very funny. But I'm actually looking, no, please keep standing. I'm looking for who is actually really, yeah, let's do this one over here. Yeah, come on up. Yes, that is you. He doesn't know he's been picked. Okay, rubies, all first-timer rubies, stand up. This is your first dynasty, that's right. It's amazing. Okay, can I have the ladies sit down? All right, so men, I am looking for the one who always wins without fail. Oh, Tony Gray. Wow. Okay, so without fail, you are going to win, period, end of story. What are you doing? That's what I thought was going to be happening right there. All right, now, again, I want the ruby up here to be so over-the-top ruby that you don't cross over real strong to emerald or sapphire. Like, you are just intense with your winning. Absolutely intense with your winning. No, John, no. No. All right. I happen to absolutely love this man. I absolutely love this man. This, it's really good to see you in a totally different environment.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're amazing. All right, John's going to be the one that we use then. Come on up. Thank you so much for waiting for instructions. I appreciate that greatly. Okay. Okay. All right, so these people are going to be representing our gems. Now, if I could ask all of you to kind of move right over there in front of the whiteboard. And what we're going to do is we are going to demonstrate through form. I'm just going to form each one of them. All right. So through form, we are going to discover a few things. Now, the volunteers have a handout to give all of you. Let's get the gems handout passed out, please. And you're going to find that there's four boxes on this handout, and it gives you topics to pay attention to. So as I am forming each one of these guys, you're going to watch with your eyes here, with your heart and your ears, and observe how they move themselves. Okay, so you're going to listen for vocabulary, the very language in which they use. Next, you're going to listen to the tone of their voice, because all of them have a different tone in which they carry themselves. Their overall look, okay, the way that they're presenting themselves, their handshake, their body language, their facial expressions, what their interests are, their occupation, what their job is, or business is, what they like about it and what they don't like about it. So as I form them and you're watching all of this, you're going to hear language start to come out of their mouth, and definitions of their own vocabulary is what you're going to begin to see, okay? So as I'm doing this, this is a case study for you to be able to watch, okay, and to pay attention to. Yeah, cool, awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and start with the sapphire like we normally do. And she already just like beautifully demonstrated.
Thank you.
Yes. Okay, so this is called mirroring gems. So I am actually non-verbally speaking her language right now.
Yes.
It's kind of fun.
I like to skip a little bit.
You like to skip?
Yes.
That's awesome. Wow, that's amazing. Okay, this hair color is amazing.
Thank
you did a great job. I like the whole...
Thank you.
The combination of it all.
Thank you.
It's really awesome.
Thanks.
Okay, so your name is for everybody.
My name is Heather Grill.
Okay, and Heather, we're going to pretend like they're not here.
Okay.
It's just you and me, babe.
Okay.
Okay? It's just you and me.
Okay.
That's all it is, just you and me.
Okay.
Okay, I got to write something down. Are you okay with that?
Yes.
You're so sweet. Thanks. I appreciate that. Okay, so where are you from?
San Antonio.
No. Are you serious?
Yes, ma'am.
You literally are from San Antonio?
Yes.
That is the coolest thing ever. How awesome is that?
Pretty awesome. They make good margaritas.
They do what?
They make good margaritas.
Oh, they do? Where?
Yes.
Where's your favorite place for margaritas?
I'm going to La Hacienda tonight for dinner. So.
You are?
Yes.
Is that on the Riverwalk?
No. It's over off of Redland Road, 1604. I live in that area, so...
Gotcha.
Be closer to home.
So what's your favorite margarita?
I like spicy margaritas, something with jalapenos in it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, what do you do here in San Antonio?
I'm a massage therapist.
Really?
I own my own wellness center, yes. And it's actually called Tree of Life Wellness Center.
No
so
way.
This morning was fantastic for me.
No way.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Tree of Life.
Yes.
How long have you been a massage therapist?
For 15 years.
What do you like about it?
I love helping people.
You do?
Yeah. I like it when they walk out of the room. I like it when they walk in and they look awful and they walk out of the room and they're just, their hair's all messed up and they don't care if they go to the grocery store or not.
Yeah. That's awesome. Are you married?
I'm divorced.
I'm sorry.
No, it's good.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, good for you.
Yeah. Woo!
Do you have any kids?
I have two boys.
How old are they?
Just turned 10 and getting ready to turn 9. Two boys. Yeah.
10 and 9.
Yes, 15 months apart.
Woo, boo, boo.
Yeah, it's fun. I got rid of everything at the same time. So all the diapers, all the bottles, everything.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. What do you like about being a mom to two sons?
I like that it brings me back to the vision of children. Like I see things from a child's perspective. And it's fun. I love... you know, talking to them and hearing what their outlook on, you know, life is.
Mm-hmm. That's so cool. Yeah. That's fun. What do they like to do for fun?
They like to ride bikes. They're in scouts, so we do a lot of scouting stuff. Like to play on the Xbox. My little one is really artistic, so he likes to build stuff, go outside in the yard, and I never know what he's going to come in with. So,
right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, what do you not like about being a massage therapist?
Washing sheets. Yeah.
Unnecessary evil.
Yeah. Cleaning stuff and washing sheets. I don't like doing that stuff.
Now, do you have any employees?
I don't. I have two rooms that I rent out to people, so they're independent contractors. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So how many clients do you have?
Probably, I don't know.
Are you working part-time or full-time?
I'm working full-time. I probably do about 20 to 25 massages a week, but people schedule on different intervals, so probably a good 80 to 100 regular clients.
That's awesome. All right, let's time out. All right, what did we learn about our Sapphire? Now, graduates, leadership is about letting other people step in, letting other people learn what you already know, and letting them discover and uncover what is inside of this sludge in their own heads, okay? So grads, it's going to take every ounce of self-control for you not to give the answer to the questions. So first-timers, where are you? First-timers, what did you see about our beautiful Sapphire up here? Let's start with language. Did you notice when I asked Heather about what she liked about her job, what did she say? Helping people, and why? It's fun. It's fun. Fun is a common word out of a Sapphire's mouth, like every few sentences. In fact, you also said that about your sons.
Yes.
Yes, that being a mom to two boys was what?
Fun.
And why is it fun?
We get to play.
Right? Okay, so what else did you notice about the Sapphire up here?
Colorful.
Say again?
Colorful.
Very colorful. Yes, she's very, very colorful. Always moving. Yes. Did you notice that? She's moving her hands. She's moving her body. We're swaying. We're moving our head. What else did you notice about her face, the way she communicated with you? Big smile. Exactly. What else? Yeah, she does kind of have, what would you say that voice is actually? Yes. Exactly. So it's an excited voice. It's not so much about the pitch of the voice, but the tone is excited, right? There's something kind of bubbling in the way that she's communicating. So she's kind of bubbling over. Okay. What else? Say again. Yes. She likes to touch. Yes. Yes. She likes to touch. Okay. What else? Yeah. She actually asked for a hug instead of a handshake, but the hand, that's a chair. I did shake her hand, and I'll do it again to demonstrate it for you, but let's go.
Now I'm thinking about it.
So high. Oh, I turned into a hug. Okay. That handshake is, they keep holding on. That's a longer handshake. It's like, hi, how you doing? It's so good to meet you. She's still holding my hand on. Okay. And then she pulls me closer. She literally, pulled me closer to get a hug. It's awesome. Okay. So her body language was very fluid, right? She's moving around a lot, right? Talking with her hands. What kind of expressions did you notice on her face? Yes, happy. What else? Joyful, sparkly, really good eye contact, and very, very expressive, right? It's very alive. She's very animated. This is not... Well, you'll find out in a minute when you see another gem talk. Okay. So the word I think is demonstrative. So it's just super alive and animated and moving and motivated, right? You can just feel the energy and motivation coming off of her. All right. What was her dislikes about her profession? What was the second dislike?
Cleaning.
It's very normal for a Sapphire. That'd be the worst thing. It's a necessary evil. Has to get done, especially in your line of work. So, okay, cool. So when you approach a Sapphire, it's important for them to know from your perspective. I mean, they want to know about you, who you know, and what you're involved in, and it has to be involved with people. So if you're going to have a conversation with a Sapphire, they want to know who you know, who you hang out with, where you like to have fun, Okay, that's...
Where are we going later?
Where are we going later, right? That's important to them. Business is not so important to them. It's just a necessary evil. I have to work in order to provide for my sons. So this is why I'm working. I could care less about, for example, how many clients do you have? I don't know. And why? I don't care. It doesn't matter. But did you notice all the specifics on the games that her sons like to play? They're scouts. We go out scouting, right? Xbox, right? So she naturally gave a list of the fun things that she likes to do, but the business, you know, that it actually takes to provide for the family, that's like, that's somewhere. As long as I pay my bills, well, as long as I have more checks, I have more money. So we're good, right? All right, so when you approach a sapphire, this is really important for them, that you approach them, because again, your nonverbal communication is 93% of it, so it's mostly how we communicate. So when you're approaching the sapphire, let me just show you how not to approach a sapphire, okay? We're watching carefully. Everyone's paid attention. This is how you don't approach a sapphire. Okay, ready? Danny Johnson, nice to meet you. What's your name?
Heather.
How you doing today?
Good.
You don't look like you're doing very good right now.
Yeah, not so much.
How you feeling?
A little intimidated.
Really? Why are you intimidated?
Well, you're kind of
What
mean.
Are you doing here?
Yeah.
Why are you standing right here? What's going on? Did you pay your taxes?
I don't know.
They do like to be in your space. However, if you are interrogative, you have too much glaring eye contact, that she's in trouble, right? That she feels like she's being drilled. This is not the right approach. You need to be more fluid when you're in the presence of a sapphire. Pick up your hands and use those hands. Smile more. Have good eye contact, but let it be like warm and inviting and expressive instead of, how are you doing?
Yeah.
You like that?
Yes.
You don't like this one?
No.
Nice to see you.
No.
Welcome.
No.
You don't feel welcomed?
No.
And that's 7% words, right? So 7% of our communication is words. I can say, hi, nice to meet you, welcome. But my whole body is not saying, welcome to a sapphire. Okay? All right. So the other thing to do, no, we're not done. She's like, am I done? No, we're not done. All right, the other thing is it is important that when you are building up to something, when you're edifying something, when you're promoting something, and when you're going to close a deal, all right, sapphires are very spontaneous, so they're very easy to close. They're very easy to close because they are spontaneous, and they love doing spontaneous things. So if you do it right, that when you're communicating with them and you're forming them, okay, and you're going to find their strengths, interests, needs, and goals, they are so easy, and they're ready to just, yeah, let's do that. That sounds fun, okay? So make sure that even when you're presenting something to them that you're talking about fun. Like, for example, okay, could you imagine? Okay, do you like to go camping?
Yes.
So do you go camping with the boys?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Like, how many times a year do you go camping?
Probably 4 or 5.
That's a lot.
Yeah, and we set up a tent in our backyard, so we camp out there a lot too.
Absolutely love that. What color is the tent?
It's red.
Nice. Okay, cool.
So only because my son picked it, I would have picked blue. But.
Oh, nice. Okay, so could you imagine being able to have more fun with your sons and to even camp more and to have more time with them and enjoying life and exploring and going and covering different things and just having a blast with each other?
Yes.
Is that something you want to do?
Yes.
Okay, so here's the deal.
Just give it to me. Whatever. I don't care what it is. Do I need to finance it? What is it?
It could be insurance. It could be financial services.
It could be cleaning supplies.
It could be cleaning supplies. It's everything is how you present it, how you position it, okay? That's how it is. Listen, I talked about something in Latvia that I wanted to point out to you. Look, everything is about positioning. Everything is about how you position it, how you frame it in the eyes of the hearer, okay? So let me give you a prime example. How many ladies are in the room? Okay, how many guys are in the room? Okay, it's like 50-50, okay? Here's the deal. I'm going to use something from the female market, but a man makes it, okay? All right, so it crosses both of you. Mascara, okay? The same exact product is inside of Chanel's tube of mascara that costs $25 that is inside Maybelline's mascara that sells for $5 or $6. What's the difference? It's the same exact thing. What's the difference? It's branding and positioning. That's all it is. It's branding and positioning. That's the only difference. So we limit ourselves based on how we position ourselves. And our language can position ourselves in the wrong place. And how we carry ourselves and how we communicate this thing. So I could be selling something like insurance, but if I'm communicating emerald insurance, she ain't gonna buy it. But if I communicate sapphire insurance, she wants it all day. She said, I'll take it, whatever, do I have to finance it? I don't even know what it is that you have, I just want it. Why? Because she's being communicated as to who she is. So some of you are hurting yourselves because you're actually selling price instead of positioning it to be the personality it is that you're actually working with or right in front of. And that's, again, one-on-one sales. But if you are in a group-like setting, you can still position it talking to all four gems. Talking about the fun, the exploration of it, and imagine, you know, not having to worry about what the actual future looks like, but be able to have more fun today knowing that you have tomorrow taken care of. So would you like that?
Yes.
Done. Great. Welcome aboard. Here's the application.
Swipe.
I positioned insurance as something that will give her more freedom to have more fun and more exploration. Why? Because that's what matters to who? To her. That's what matters to her. That's what matters to this sapphire. She gave me how to pitch it. She said it just in talking about who her boys were, and that's where she really lit up, as well as the thing with her clients back home. So let's say that I'm marketing something to where she can grow her business. This is how I would say that. Okay. All right. You know, I couldn't help but notice that you were talking about how much you love being able to work on people's bodies. Can you tell me a little more about that?
I just like helping people relax. Everyone's so stressed out nowadays, and I like taking some of that stress off of them so that they can go and enjoy their lives.
And how do you see them enjoying their lives after you take that stress right off them?
Well, if they're not in pain anymore, or they can release some of their tension on the table. They can go out and have a nice dinner with their family, or they can start exercising again if they've been hurt. And so it's all stuff that'll make them feel better.
That's so amazing. So do you think that there's far more many people out there that need to have that stress just taken off of them by the work of your beautiful hands?
Absolutely.
Do you think that there's more people right here in the San Antonio area that need to be able to come and see the Tree of Life
Yes.
Health Center? Do you feel like there could be more people out there that would have a better time with their spouse, maybe have more sex because they're not
Yes.
in pain? Right?
Yes.
Right? Right? So would you want to be able to learn exactly how you'll be able to reach more of those people so you can help to change those people's lives and make such a difference in them so that they can leave your studio with that messed up hair and feel so free and good about themselves that they go straight to the grocery store?
Yes.
Great. When do you want to get started with that?
Now.
Cool.
Yesterday.
Really?
Yes.
I'm so excited for you.
All right, what are we going to do?
Cool. Here's an application.
Swipe.
So again, when you're speaking to a sapphire and you're making it all about fun, look what mattered to her. Who was she talking about for her business? What was she talking about for her business? Newbies, what was she talking about? The people. The people, the people, the people, the people. And she was very specific about the emotional connection with the people and the impact that she actually has on their lives. She wasn't talking about the bottom line, the numbers, and the profits. She wasn't talking about efficiencies or effectively massaging a particular body part that helps to relieve them of pain. No, she was talking about the quality of the people's lives and the impact that she has directly on helping their life to improve. Why? Because that's what matters to a Sapphire. That's what matters to them. So if whatever it is that you're selling or positioning, I could be selling an oil or a vitamin or whatever. Again, I'm going to wrap it with the wrapping paper of Sapphire language. Okay, makes sense? All right, now, whenever you're edifying, it's important to edify in their language. Really super important to edify in their language. So if, let's say that I'm bringing her to some kind of a presentation where she can learn how to improve her business. Of course, I wouldn't say learn how to improve your business. How would I position it to her is where you're going to be shown exactly how to impact more people's lives, where they're going to be less stressed, they're going to have more fun, she's going to totally help you make more money, which means that you and the boys are going to go camping more often. It's going to be so much fun. So she comes to a presentation where she's going to learn how to do that, all right? So let's say that there's several of us at this presentation. How many have been to a presentation before? Okay, pretty much all of us in the room, I'm sure, have been to some kind of presentation before, right? So this works, by the way, any kind of presentation. Let's say that I'm trying to court somebody. I'm trying to recruit some talent into my company, as I am right this minute, and I'm looking to fill certain positions, executive assistant, social media.
I like Facebook.
You do? Okay. We got some marketing positions that we're filling, an IT position that we're filling, right? So whenever we're bringing somebody in for an interview, even. So even if it's bringing new talent into the office, and we want to make sure and set the right example, communicate the right language to those people, and or I'm bringing someone to some kind of a sales presentation, right? Or I work at a car lot, and somebody's walking in the lot, I have to edify my sales manager in order to close the deal. So whenever you are edifying somebody else, and you want to always look for an opportunity to edify somebody else, you don't just edify yourself, but edify a person that's within the organization, edify, in fact, John, you could actually do that. Yeah, really beautifully. Because what that does is it adds, it positions and adds more value to the business in which you're representing, is what it does. Okay, it adds, it people-fies the brand, if you will, right? And it causes people to trust your brand more when they hear someone internally speaking highly about somebody else that's internal. It shows that things are more solid. It shows that things are more more beneficial to everybody. It kind of paints this picture in your head that, oh, I think these guys are going to be around for a while, right? So forget it. Let me show you. So you're coming to a sales you're coming to a presentation, and I'm going to, actually, when I was on the phone with you, I would have edified, but I'm just going to edify somebody else that's at this presentation. Okay. Heather?
Yes,
oh, my gosh.
Danny.
Okay. I have to show you somebody. Okay. So see right here, the guy right there in the black? Okay.
Yes.
His name is Jackie. This guy is absolutely amazing. He is so cool. And as you can see, he's like totally surrounded by other people because people just love him. Okay. And no one would ever even realize how successful he actually is. His name and his face and his story has been seen by hundreds of thousands of people like all over the world. He has personally inspired so many people to take their goal of helping people and helping to change their lives and helping moms even to go out and spend more time camping and having a good time with their kids and playing more Xbox and like having such a good time. I mean, this guy is absolutely incredible. He's like super busy, so I don't even know if we'll get the chance to meet him, but I do know that
I'm going to request him as a friend on Facebook.
Okay, that's so perfect.
Are you on Instagram? Can I follow you on Instagram? We will be friends before the end of the day.
She forgot she was at a presentation.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
All she knows is she wants to meet Jackie.
Yeah.
That's all she knows. So now, look how she's feeling. How are you feeling about me talking about this guy, Jackie?
Awesome. Yeah. Happy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I need to know him.
Yeah. Yeah. Versus why am I in this meeting? How much are they going to try to gouge me for? What is this really all about? So it's about framing the mind of the prospect as you're bringing them into that sales presentation. I don't care if it's a conference call. I don't care if it's your retail store. It doesn't matter what it is. They have thoughts coming into it until you direct their thoughts. And so right away, I'm directing her thoughts about thinking highly about somebody that is a coworker of mine or somebody that is a customer of mine. Maybe it's a customer who's already taken advantage of the opportunity that it is that we're presenting, and he happens to be there that night. Or let's say you're walking into an insurance office or a bank, insurance office or a bank. These are places that are so freaking boring, right? Stiff. So what would help a sapphire feel better about purchasing something that's boring is make the something that you think is boring fun. It's all about how you package it. It's all about the wrapping paper you put on the outside, okay? So right away, all she's thinking is, that guy sounds so cool. And they say, you know what? Okay, check it out. Okay, see the girl on the black right over there? Uh-huh. Okay, she's like so amazing. Her name is Taryn. Okay, she's a mom too. She has a little boy that's 8 and a daughter that's 12.
Play dates.
Totally. Anyway, and she's just so fun. I mean, she just loves people. You will absolutely enjoy being able to get to know who she is. And you would never, ever in a million years guess how successful she is. She's like not one of those people that's completely forgotten who they are and where they come from after they've made a ton of money and paid off a ton of debt.
I don't care. I just want to play with her and her kids.
That's so cool. So she's so awesome. So I literally could like point out so many different people who are part of our organization. They're just like the most awesome people. You would so enjoy.
Sorry, I have a friend over there now.
There you go. So now if she's going to sit in a presentation, how's she feeling about the presentation? How's she feeling about that presentation? I like this place. I like this place. I like these people. Does that increase the closing ratios? Massively increases the closing ratios. Why? You've just created an experience unlike other experiences that they have. That's what you've done. Simply by framing their mind. Okay? All right. So let me show you how not to edify to her. You ready?
No.
Okay. Heather, thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate that you're here. I want you to just kind of take your eyes just slightly, not real obviously, over here to this gentleman in the front. We're in the black with the red. Okay. That is Mr. Jackie O'Quinn. And Jackie O'Quinn has actually been a part of our organization for 12 years. And Jackie O'Quinn is a highly decorated, highly accomplished businessman. Not only has he paid off over $200,000 worth of debt and he's paid off his mortgage, and he does have two children.
You sound like the Charlie Brown teacher, and I have no idea what you're talking about.
Wah, 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 wah.
I was just speaking Emerald and giving all the details and bullet points about Jackie O'Quinn. And did you hear what she said?
I don't want to friend him on Facebook.
She definitely doesn't want to friend him on Facebook. Now she's trying to figure out how the heck to get out. Where's the bathroom? How many of you have ever brought a guest to some kind of a presentation and they asked for the bathroom and then they fell off the face of the planet? Anybody ever go through something like that? It's quite likely that you created the environment of major uncomfort for them. They did not connect. Write this down. All humans are looking for a place to belong. All humans are looking for a place to belong. And when you understand people's gem, you speak that language to them, you help them feel like they belong. They're at home. They're comfortable with where they're at. So even text messaging a sapphire, you should use emojis.
I have conversations with friends that are only GIFs back and forth. We have the whole conversation. We know exactly what we're saying.
But I don't recommend sending those to Emeralds. Necessarily. Unless they understand gems and then it's cool and we're just communicating and they're able to laugh at your completely inappropriate GIF. What is this? Why are you sending this to me?
And then I don't send you two realize, more to explain it.
Yeah, don't you realize what I'm doing right now? Okay. All right, cool. So we're going to pass the mic on to our next one. I'm going to have you. You can stay here if you want. Actually, yes, stay here. Hi, how are you?
Hi, I'm good.
Good. Can you say your name in the mic for everybody?
I'm Jane Cox.
Hi, Jane. I'm so glad you're here.
I'm glad to be here.
You are?
I am.
You're just so sparkly. I just love the beautiful, sweet, peaceful smile that you have on your face. It really is a blessing.
Oh, thank you.
And so amazingly disarming. I really love it. Okay,
why
so
is it disarming?
Oh, just because you're just so easy to be around and so sweet.
Oh, that's really sweet of you to say.
Thank you. And
she did such a good job. I just wanted to say, you did such a good job.
Okay, so I wanted to make sure I had the proper. So Jane Cox, and where are you from?
I'm from Dallas.
You're from Dallas? Yeah. How long have you been living in Dallas?
I've been living in Dallas 40 years.
That's a long time.
It is a long time.
What do you like about Dallas?
Well, right now I like that my husband moved there last month, 3 months ago. Michael Cox from Baltimore married me in July, the day before we went to Cleveland.
Michael! First steps. Wow! Stand up, Michael. Stand up. He's a precious, faithful client. Congratulations! You have a wonderful man.
I do.
You really
I'm
do.
I'm so blessed.
You really are.
I really am.
We really like him.
Oh, I like him too. I am really happy for me.
That's awesome. That's so awesome. So you just got married how long ago?
July 6th.
Wow.
I mean, literally the day before Cleveland First Steps.
How did you guys meet?
Well, we met 50 years ago in sixth grade. And then we reconnected, totally lost contact, and reconnected in March at our 50th high school reunion.
Wow. That's amazing.
It was amazing.
It's so sweet.
And God just orchestrated things so that we weren't a couple, and then all of a sudden we were a couple.
That's so sweet. Okay, so what do you do in Dallas?
I'm a speech pathologist in private practice. I serve people who have learning disabilities and other kinds of processing issues, neurological, to gain better brain function.
Wow.
I give them a hope and a future.
That's so precious. How long have you been doing that?
Oh, 40 plus years.
That's a long time.
It is.
Now, do you have children?
I do. I have 2 grown children and 7 grandchildren.
Oh, congratulations.
Aren't supposed to focus on you, aren't I? I keep thinking I'm supposed to be out here, but I'm not.
No.
No. I've got to do it right.
You are doing it right. You are doing it right. You're doing a great job. Okay, so 40 years.
Yes.
What is the number one thing that you love about your profession?
I change people's lives, and I give them a hope to have a future. For people who otherwise wouldn't have that.
Wow. Tell me more about that.
Well, I work with people who have things like autism. I have people on my caseload who started out nonverbal and with an autism diagnosis, and by 14 or 15 don't have that anymore.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
I use some very innovative strategies, and they're really exciting, and I get real involved in them, and I forget that I do it for a living. Yeah. I have A-type personalities that help me with the bookkeeping.
That's really
and
smart.
Collecting the bills, yes, because yes, I got in a lot of trouble over not having that.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. That makes sense. So, what do you not like about what you do?
Getting bit and hit and kicked.
Like literally?
Like literally, because I wrestle autistic kids on the floor sometimes, and they get really upset. Not that I'm wrestling with them, but they come in, they're very frightened and have a lot of regulation, self-control problems. And so, but usually by the end of the week, they're more self-controlled.
Wow, that's amazing.
But I don't like getting bit.
Yeah.
No, not fun.
Yeah, not at all. How often does it happen?
Oh, a couple of times a year.
Sorry. That's terrible.
It's an occupational hazard.
Yes, it's true. It's very, very, very true. Okay, we're going to time out right here, right now. So, what was her handshake like? Very soft, so sweet, right? And what else did you notice when she shook my hand? Huh? Okay, you new people need to speak up. She completely glued in with her eyes. Total eye contact and soft in her eye contact. It's endearing. When you look into her eyes, it's endearing. You just feel like you could just go away on a trip with her. I know why Michael ended up marrying this woman. She is precious, man. You guys are a great couple. What an amazing match.
I think he's glad too.
You do? He's a big old smile. He is. Okay, so if you notice, so she grabs my hand. It's nice. And then I grabbed her the back of her shoulder. I mean, the back of her arm. Why? They really love touch. They really love touch.
It was on my list.
It was? Yeah, touch. And even a nice little rub, you know? But don't come in with a big, strong, ruby handshake. Don't squeeze too hard. Be nice and gentle with them, okay? And then with your eye contact, let it be enduring. Let it be gentle. This nice smirk that's on her face. Okay, what else did you notice about her? Let's just go down the list to make it easy. What kind of terminology did she use? Hope. Yeah, what did she like about what she does? Serving people, and what else? Remember, it's a hope. She changes what? She changes lives. She changes lives. And how does she change lives? She brings hope. She brings hope. That's very common terminology for a pearl. Really, really common terminology. Okay, so what did you notice about her tone of her voice? Yes, really soft. Say what? Yeah, you have to move the mic up on pearls. Versus a sapphire, I'll have no problem meeting the mic. And neither will the other two.
But I do teach. I teach large audiences. But I was talking to you.
Yeah.
But if I were teaching, I would project.
Yeah, but it still would be quite soft in comparison to a sapphire who's projecting. The decibels are just a little different. Okay. Yeah. Have you noticed her laugh? You can't hear it. She's busting a gut right now. She's turning bright red, and you still cannot hear her laughing. Look at her. She's got tears coming from her eyes. She is laughing so hard. She's busting a gut, but you cannot hear the laugh. But this one over here, she giggled and laughed the entire time, and you heard it the whole time. But when a pearl is laughing, this is what it sounds like. Common for pearl laughter. You okay? Here, let me help you. It is really hot up here, though. It really is. We're not hot flashing, I promise. There you go. This is very beautiful. I like that. And where did you find this?
Someone gave that to me.
Aww.
And someone gave this to me.
No way. Such a surprise. They hold on to things that people give them. Okay, so let's check out her overall look. Now, she's wearing black today, and she's very well coordinated. But just take a look at her face, and I know the camera can catch her, but just her face, just what do you see? What's the overall look of this woman? Very natural, exactly. Very natural. Yep. Versus, it is gentle, isn't it? Like, isn't that funny that the very look of someone communicates, right? So versus this one over here, the ocean is blue and that's natural, she says. Okay, this one over here is just beaming with excitement and color, right? Lots of color, lots of communicating of life and motivation. Right?
I wore extra makeup this morning.
What was that?
I wore extra makeup this morning.
Oh, you are. Wow. That's wearing a lot of makeup, by the way, is what she just told us. She's wearing extra makeup this morning.
It was dress-up day.
It's dress-up day. That's amazing. Okay. So tell me about her body language. What does her body language look like? She's still and engaged. Definitely still. Say what?
Calming. Well, that's what I do for a living. I help people ramp down.
What's her secondary gem? Emerald, hardcore. It is, absolutely. Yeah, you communicate a lot of it.
Only about 10 or 15%.
Oh my gosh. I only have 10 to 15% emerald. I think you might have a little more.
Just... Michael made me take the test.
Oh, he did? Oh, so you accurately added it all up.
Yes,
I understand. That's perfect. There is a gems test. Yes, there is. Okay. What were her interests? Helping people. Man, and major. I mean, this woman has a really tough job. That's a really hard job.
It is.
That's really profound that you've helped kids go from nonverbal at all to totally being able to communicate in their teens. That's a really big job.
It's a really big deal.
Yeah, it's quite a miraculous one. All right, what does she do for a living? Helps people. Okay, what does she like about her job? Helping people. What does she not like about her job? Getting bit. Right? But she still does her job even though she gets bit, punched, and kicked. Still does her job. Why? Because it's helping people. Because the end is the result that she's wanting. And that's really changing the world one life at a time. Which is really, really beautiful. Okay, so again, if you are going to, let's say that we are at the bank and the bank made a big mistake. Isn't that terrible?
That's
on the
bad.
Statement, they've overcharged you again.
But I'm sure it wasn't your fault.
We can all learn from pearls. Right? Seriously. Right away, she's carried about my feelings. She's going to have to approach me. I'm the bank teller, and she has to approach me, but she right away is like, I know it's not your fault.
But we really do need to fix this.
You're right. You're absolutely right.
I'm so hoping you can be the one to help me.
Wow. I will do anything I have to make sure you get the help you need.
I am so glad. You seem so capable.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate it. Okay, so what's the problem on the statement?
It's wrong.
It is?
Yeah.
What did we do?
Well, you said that I had taken money out, but I'd really put money in.
Oh, no.
And so it's like, well, double the deficit.
This is
and
terrible.
Where it should have been there, it's not. And then I wrote checks based on it being there, and it wasn't.
This is bad.
It's really bad. And then you charged me for that.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
This is
so we really do need to fix
You're right. You are so right. I am so sorry.
And would you really consider waiving these penalties that you added because of the... Yes, I knew you would.
Yeah, this is... She's a closer. I'm being closed right now to fix this problem. Now, listen, I want to show you something. She's using some very powerful communication skills that obviously have helped her be successful in her job. You're a closer, which is amazing. So does that show you that pearls can close? So it's all about what you're focused on, friend. It's all about what you're focused on. So some pearls think they can't close and it's wrong to close or it's bad to close. No way.
No, because you're helping people when you close.
It's the truth. It's the absolute truth. You are helping people when you close. Okay, so she just backed me into doing my job. I'd be glad to now. I would love to help her do that. Absolutely. All right. So let's just say that it's a matter of which that now I have to bring her higher level, that I personally don't have the authority. I'm not going to tell her that because that makes everybody mad, right? But here's what I am going to tell her. Okay, Mrs. Cox, first of all, I am so very sorry for what has happened. I hope you will be able to forgive us for the mess that we've made. Because
oh, absolutely.
That frustration from that.
But it really does need to be fixed, and we need to do so quickly.
Absolutely. So I am feeling like the most qualified person to be able to take care of this the quickest is our branch manager, and you are going to love her.
Oh, I know I will.
She is amazing. She loves helping all of our clients. She has a personal relationship with so many of them. She's really detail-oriented, and whenever somebody has been wronged or hurt by our service or a computer glitch. She just works really hard to make sure and serve that person the best possible way that they can.
I can't wait to meet her.
Yeah.
But you've just been wonderful.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I appreciate that.
I'm real grateful that I got to connect with you.
Me too. Yeah. How do you feel about the bank?
Oh, I love the bank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though they screwed you right over.
Well, as long as they fix it.
Exactly.
And they don't do it again.
Exactly. But let me go through a different example, okay, of how not to approach the pearl.
Okay.
And how to edify wrong to my pearl. Okay? So go ahead and tell me what happened. Well, let's just say you just finished telling me what happened, and this is going to be my response. Well, ma'am, I'm really sorry, but we never make any mistakes, and I don't know what to tell you, but there's an 800 number at the very bottom of your page right there. You can just call that 800 number, and they should be able to help you. Next, please.
I already called them, and I need you to help me.
Okay, ma'am. What it sounds like is you need to talk to the manager. The manager is right over there.
Would you, it's hard to tell which one. Yes.
It's right over there. Do you see it right there?
I need you to walk me over there.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You see, I have other customers here right now, so I really apologize. I'm not going to be able to do that right now. I have to take...
Would you be
next,
glad?
Please.
Could you wait
next,
for
please.
Just wait a minute.
Please be glad to wait. This is perfect. Okay, now... So how do you feel about the bank?
I may give you one more chance and I may not. But only because I've been with you for 20 years, but it seems like your policies are changing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you see that. So what determines whether or not somebody is able to get over the mistake that your organization made, whether they made it or not, but the perception is that we got a glitch in a computer or... whatever happened with her bank statement, right? So the bottom line is what determines whether or not she feels wonderful about the bank is actually more than just fixing the problem. It's how we fix the problem, how we communicate with that pearl in this case, which would be completely different than the sapphire who doesn't even know that we overcharged her and has no idea that she's been robbed blind many times for the last 20 years of her life because those things do happen. Anyway... bottom line is what determines whether or not I'm going to keep customer loyalty is on how I address the gem, not just the person, but the gem, and communicating to her in the way that honors her versus I can say the same exact script that's completely annoying to her by just the way I talk to her. So let me show you an example. Here's another way not to approach a pearl. You ready? So this is the bank, and let's say I'm the branch manager, right? And so let's say that this teller called the branch manager. Branch manager comes right over. I'm now the branch manager. You ready? Mm-hmm. Here we go. Hello, Mrs. Cox. What can I do for you today?
Well, I have a problem that needs to be rectified. And
I'm sorry you have that problem.
I am too. And these are my statements. And this is what's
happening. Hold on one second. Can you come here? I need you to take care of these three other things that are on this thing, and then I need you to make a phone call to Joe. Joe needs to take care of that other thing for me. Okay, thanks.
I took the time to highlight what the problem are
because okay.
Okay. And
all right.
You can obviously see the problems are right here.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And these are incorrect because according to...
Ma'am, you just need to calm down. I'm so sorry.
I am very calm.
Okay, ma'am. So I can see these highlighted things. Okay, I'm going to get somebody on this right away, and then we'll go ahead and call you, okay?
No, not okay.
As you can see, the bank is, like, super busy right now, so I need to go.
No, not okay.
You don't approach a pearl as a ruby who's too busy and has too many things on their plate and is way, way, way above you. No. Personal touch, personal eye contact. Boy, you're kind of like, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry. That really disrupted her. I could feel. She's like, I could actually feel her heart on her back right now. No, I'm serious. Okay, so I'm just going to hug for a minute. You're so adorable. Okay. All right, so you don't approach them with the ruby. You don't have a bunch of other things going on. You don't talk over them. You don't interrupt them. It is... follow their pace with the eye contact and let them know that you're actually going to help them. Not always with your, meaning not just with your words, but the way that you communicate those words to her. Okay? All right, awesome. How do you close a pearl? How do you close a pearl? Yes. So.
You have to give us time.
Really?
Yeah.
Like how much time do you need?
Probably till tomorrow.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do not make snap decisions.
Gotcha.
That's Except good. In getting married.
I guess he closed the deal. He closed the deal, didn't he?
He did.
So that was a quick decision, huh?
It was.
That's wild. So you are capable of making big decisions quickly.
Apparently so.
Right, especially when someone knows how to speak your language.
Yes. Oh, I didn't think about that. Have I been had?
Yeah. Mr. Cox, how many creating a dynasties and first step successes have you been to? Five? Yeah. Guess he had his eyes fixed on what he wanted.
I guess so.
Yeah. And he was able to help you feel very comfortable.
I feel very comfortable with him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which is awesome because he closed the deal and then he followed up properly.
He did. He moved halfway across the country to be with me.
He did. That's really precious, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we have to move on now. Okay. All right?
I'll pass it on.
You're going to pass it on. It's awesome.
Thank you.
I'm going to stand with this one over here. Hi.
Hi.
You can come closer. I don't bite today. After 5 o'clock, I might.
Okay. Nice to meet you, Danny.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, you've changed my life, so it's great to see you in person. I couldn't imagine that I would be up here right now if it wasn't for all those devious people behind me that sat on my seat and stopped me from sitting down. So I don't think I check all the boxes to be here, really, but anyway, I'm
What's
sure you're
name?
An expert at that. Gary's my name.
Gary. Yeah. Your last name?
Pollard.
Say again?
Pollard.
How do you spell that?
P-O-L-L-A-R-D.
Nice. And where are you from?
Cairns, Australia. I bought a. I've got a map and a GPS reference if you need to know where it is.
What do you like about being in Cairns?
In Cairns.
Cairns.
Cairns. Sorry. Yeah, just the tropical lifestyle and my previous friends I did have. Yeah.
The tropical lifestyle, like how?
We have probably 2 days of winter where we might have to put a pair of socks on. But other than that, it's tropical all year round and reasonably comfortable, except for December, which is really hot.
What do you do for a living there?
I think you call the trade something different here, but basically I work with high voltage electricity, so zero error tolerance.
High voltage electricity.
Yes.
Which means, are these towers? Like, explain. Give me some more details.
In Australia, there's certain levels of the voltage of electricity, and you have to have a license for a certain level and then other licenses for higher level. So I have that license to work with that stuff. So I try not to, but I have to because it's my job.
How long have you been doing that?
Goodness me, since 1993.
That's a long time.
Mm.
What do you like about it?
The preciseness of everything has to be right. And usually, if you make a mistake, there's a puff of smoke. So if you're talking to someone else about my age, usually it means they're successful at their job.
Because the alternative is...
I haven't tried the alternative. but I don't think it's pretty.
So if someone is not as precise as you are...
It does make me uncomfortable when people don't follow procedures, and I've unfortunately worked with a few people like that that have maybe tried to steer in the right direction, and they probably tried to steer me in the right direction, but I prefer my direction.
Mm. Absolutely. Yeah. So what do you not like about the job?
I think it can be high stress when people don't follow the procedures. For everyone.
Tell me more about that.
It's not nice. Like nothing, people I've worked with and the places I've been, there's been zero accidents. So I haven't come across that. And I suppose it can be stressful if you don't follow procedure. And they develop these procedures by previous accidents, and previous accidents are steering you in the right direction. So it's a waste of somebody's life if you don't follow them.
So are there many casualties in your line of work?
Not anymore. Not where I work, at least.
Because they have fine-tuned these procedures and have perfected the effectiveness of them.
Yes. Yes.
I completely understand.
Yeah.
That's fabulous. Time out. So what did you notice about the Emerald, who really is quite perfect? The quite perfect pick.
I'm not sure about that.
So, first of all, let's talk about the language. His terminology was very, very, very Emerald. So what was some of the terminology that you did not hear from these two? Procedures. What else? Precise. What else? Follow direction. Zero tolerance. For failure. No emotion. Very dry humor. There's a puff of smoke, which is a really nice way of saying that guy's dead. If someone makes a mistake, there's a puff of smoke. I really, really enjoyed talking to you. The other thing that he gave was a lot of details, a lot of very precise details. He is holding a clipboard. Nobody else was holding a clipboard. He is holding a clipboard. Yes, he's been taking notes. He didn't fly all the way here from Australia not to take notes. No. The plane ticket was very expensive.
And I only get 75 cents of your dollar when I buy it.
That's true. Yeah. That's very, very true. Yes. Okay, so what else did you notice about some terminology? She said he described living in paradise as reasonably comfortable. That's amazing. Probably not the best sales copy to get someone to live in paradise, but he definitely described it well. It is reasonably comfortable, right? It's not perfect. No.
Not unless my wife's there.
Aw, that's awesome. That does change the weather, doesn't it?
Oh, it certainly does.
It's so precious. Okay, what else did you notice? Oh, what was the tone in which that he used in his communication? Monotone, yes. Very rhythmic, monotone, just meow. Okay. What about his body language? Excellent posture. Excellent posture, yep. Great observation. What else? He doesn't move. If there is a movement, it was very slight. What about eye contact? It's direct. Direct, it's intense, it's detailed. There's something in his head that he is going to communicate to me thoroughly. When he moves, what kind of movement are you seeing? They're small, very small movement and slow movement. Not big, rapid movement like our sapphire over there. And definitely more speedily than our pearl over there. He's very just solid, right? Just very solid, steadfast, right? Steadfast. Okay. So we've got, his handshake was not indicative to a normal Emerald handshake, and I have a feeling it might have been because you were meeting me, someone that you thought you would never meet, and especially in this.
No, because I don't think I check all the boxes to be Emerald exactly.
So generally, a handshake from an Emerald is just very direct. I shook it, bye, I'm out of here. Like, touch is not a big thing to them. They like to have their own space. So they don't want you to crowd their space. They want enough oxygen for the two of you. They do. He wants his wife to touch him for a time and place of everything, but it's not appropriate for you or I to touch him. Okay? So the handshake usually is firm. It's not too strong. It's not too long. It's a handshake. Check it off the list. I shook the hand. Now we move on to the next thing. Okay. Would you notice about his likes with his occupation? Structure. Clear instructions. Systems. Procedures. Procedures based on what? This was very interesting. Procedures based on what? Past failures. Procedures based on past failures. So it's learning how to succeed from the prior failure, which has reduced the amount of casualties in his line of work. You're processing that right now, like, yeah, that is how I...
I haven't really stopped and thought about it. I just do what I do, I suppose.
I like that. Okay. I'm not sure if I'm going to get this man to laugh. I did it! So in that laughter, it's not going to be a real long laugh for a long time. Oh, I'm out of control. What did you notice about his facial expressions? Stoic. That's a great word. Yep, stoic. Does he look very confident? Yeah, very confident, very sure. Right? Steadfast would be the word I would speak over you. Steadfast and true. Steadfast and true. How long have you been married?
I won't. I was going to say a precise amount, but in case I get it wrong.
Is your wife here?
Yeah, she is. Diane.
Yeah, she's, so you're going to come up with how many days and hours?
Didn't get the minutes right. So.
Not going to get the minutes right. Mm. Have you been married longer than 2 years?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I think it's about five. It's a bit hard to remember the time. We got married on the back of an elephant in Bali, so... Oh. A little bit adventurous for me, really, I suppose.
Was that a little bit out of your comfort zone?
Yeah. Yeah.
What gym did you marry?
I'm still trying to work that out. I think she has a fair bit of ruby, but there's a lot of sapphire, and she cares very much, so there's got to be some pearl in there.
That's awesome. And was she the one is responsible for the back of an elephant in Bali?
Pretty much. She has a couple of mottos she lives by. Purple, not beige, is one of them.
That's pretty sapphire right there. That's someone's motto. It's very creative.
Yeah, that's what...
But that ruby said, me. I can't get married like everybody else does. Mm. I'm not going to show up at a church with a steeple and a white dress. It's come up with the wildest thing that no one has ever done. Getting married in the back of an elephant in Bali.
She's also very caring, so I think there's a lot of pearl in there too, so it's sort of very conflicting.
Sounds like equation. You've spent a good fair amount of time analyzing her.
Possibly.
And trying to work out all the data so that you get it right.
Yeah.
Because you like things to be right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been successful for me so far.
Yes, it seems to be working quite well. All right, so when you go to approach a emerald, let me show you what to do in approaching an emerald. They obviously like details, and they like for you to talk the same way that they like to talk. So let's just say that we are in a, I don't know, where do you want to be?
Bank sounds good.
Does it?
Yeah. I love banks.
Yes, of course. And they have made an error on your statement.
Oh, no, they haven't, but I'll take your word for it.
So we have an error. What do you want to come to the bank and talk to me about? Because you're going to have to talk to the branch manager at some point.
Oh, I see. Well, the bank's pretty straightforward. It's going to be at the balance.
The balance?
Yeah.
Is incorrect. Yeah, so go ahead and tell me about our incorrect balance.
Hello, my name's Gary. I'd like to speak to someone about my bank balance.
Okay.
Yes.
What is the issue with your bank balance?
There's not enough money in there.
There's not enough money in there. Can you explain a little more about that?
The bank, certainly the ones in Australia, I'm not sure if the ones here do, charge a fee every time I make a transaction, and that fee is for putting the money in, and that fee is for taking the money out, and that fee is sometimes for having the money in there too long without actually making any transactions. And so they have a fee for nearly anything, even if you walk into the bank to use the bank. So these fees accumulate after a period of time, and if you just think that you put money into the bank and you come to look at your balance, it's somewhat reduced to what it should be.
Okay. So in the case that you're in front of the bank teller and you're saying that you have calculated that you should have more money than what the bank statement is showing?
Yes, so there's unnecessary fees on my account.
Sir, I am greatly sorry about, I'm sure, the frustration that this must have caused you and the time that you're having to take to actually walk into the bank to take care of this. Would you like the quickest and most efficient and effective and accurate way to solve this problem?
Yes.
I think the best thing to do, especially seeing that you've been a client of ours since 1993, thank you so much for being so faithful and steadfast and being loyal to our bank. I'm going to contact our branch manager so that she can do this quickly for you and, of course, effectively.
That will be good.
Would you mind if I call her?
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you. So let's say I'm calling her. All right, our branch manager is available to speak with you now. Just to let you know, our branch manager really cares a lot about the finest details, and she makes sure that the whole bank balances correctly every single month. So I am pretty confident that she's going to be able to fix this problem, and I do apologize on behalf of the bank for the terrible error that has been made. And we're going to get this done immediately. So I'll go ahead and introduce you to her. She's an incredible woman. I think you'll enjoy speaking with her.
Thank you.
You're welcome. How do you feel about the bank so far?
A little bit better, if it's possible.
Versus this approach. We're doing another approach. Oh. Hey, can I help you? Hi. Yes. How you doing?
My name's Gary.
Good to meet you, Gary. Hi, what can I do for you?
Stop shaking
my hand. It's a beautiful
day,
isn't it, here in paradise? It's awesome. Is it nice outside?
Do you work here?
Yeah, I totally work here. Sometimes. Anyway, what can I do for you? So glad you're here. Man, you have really cool eyes. Those are awesome.
Thank you.
I like your shirt. It's really nice.
That's good.
Yeah, so what can I do for you?
I think I might need to speak to the manager.
Oh, you do?
I'll text you
her
number
if you
like. She's super
busy. Super busy, super busy. No, seriously, I can totally help you. Yeah.
Okay.
What do you need, huh? It's nice outside. Hey, John, so good to see you, man. So good. Sorry, that's my friend, John.
I think I just want to withdraw everything. Thank you.
So you feel like you want to become a loyal customer somewhere else now? Simply by the sapphire who is approaching the emerald. You don't appreciate that, do you?
Oh, yeah, it's okay, but yeah. Within reason.
Within reason. Yes, certainly for not a banking situation.
No.
No, not at all. I agree. Okay.
Very good.
All right. Fabulous. How do we close an emerald?
Give me the answer that I need.
What answer do you need?
I need a refund for all of the transaction fees.
So if we are able to fix this problem and you are fully satisfied with our solution, would you be open to continuing your business with our bank?
I think so, but I'd have to think about it.
So can you tell me exactly what would help you to feel fully satisfied with the resolution of this problem?
I think at the statement at the end of the month, or actually the end of the year, just a total of what transaction fees were taken from my account.
So you'd want, so if we were able to give you a list of all the transaction fees that were coming out?
Yes.
Okay. That would make you feel fully satisfied.
Then I don't have to come in here once.
So you will be fully satisfied and continue on with our bank if we can get you a statement once a year of all the transaction fees and that you never have to come in here again?
Yes.
Okay. We can make that happen. Welcome aboard. Thanks
Thank
so
you.
Much for continuing business with us.
Thank you.
Okay. Sometimes you can solve it, sometimes you can't. But you notice what he said. If you can answer my question and get me what I need, but what's important that you don't do is you don't guess what the emerald wants and you don't guess what they need. Did you hear me? In fact, it's important not to do that with anybody. Whenever you're solving a problem, you're asking him, and the terminology I used with him was very emerald. But that same terminology can be used with everybody. So would you like to tell me in great detail exactly what would help you feel solid and satisfied with the way we would approach this? He told me exactly what would make him feel satisfied to continue on in the relationship, furthering more transactions with the bank. How did I get that information? I asked him for it. He knows exactly what he wants. The customer, hello, always knows what they want. They know what they want, and especially a disgruntled one, a frustrated one. They know how they want that solved. Sometimes they just need to talk about the problem. Sometimes that's all that it is. These two right here, just please hear me. Let me say what went wrong. And if you jump on my side with me, if we're together in this, that's all I needed. I don't care how you solve it from there. But in this case, it's about accuracy. So the only way I'm going to accurately disarm a disgruntled customer is if I allow them to tell me what is wrong and how they would like to see it fixed. And most of the time, you can do it. What we have a tendency of doing is guessing or making a decision for them as to how we are supposed to solve that. That's not great customer service. That's not a good business. That only creates more frustration. And you know, we've been talking about this whole year about the businesses that create frustration for the customer are businesses that are no longer going to be around. Okay? They're no longer going to be around. If they are causing frustration, they're going to be gone. Within 5 years, we're going to see some businesses gone, like ghosts. Poof, poof, poof. And why? I told you before, Amazon.com has changed the marketplace for everybody. They upped the ante for service that the customer is expecting. How do we know this? How many of you use Amazon.com? You now have an expectation of other businesses based on how you've been treated with Amazon.com. That's the expectation now. So the Walmarts, those suckers are going, they're tanking. Tanking, 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 tanking. I don't care how cheap your prices are, you're not going to keep your customers if your service sucks. Because Amazon elevated, because of our experience with them, elevated now our expectation of how we want things to be done. Simple and non-frustrating. right? So the only way to help somebody, to solve a problem with somebody, is to ask them their idea or what they would like to see or what will help them feel satisfied and solid about the solution. First of all, that honors that person. Second of all, the answer is within the frustration. The solution is in the frustration, and they will communicate it to you. So then I closed it after that. Great, we can do that. Thank you so much. I look forward to us continuing on in this loyal business relationship.
Thank you.
That's a close. Okay? That's an assumptive close as well, because I'm assuming we're going to fix what we said we're going to fix. And once you feel fully satisfied about the solution, then we're done. Okay. Awesome. So you don't approach them as a sapphire. You don't edify someone else to be a sapphire ever. Okay. Let's say that my branch manager and I, who is that Heather right over there, okay? My branch manager is Heather, and we like margaritas with jalapenos in them. Okay? We go out dancing once a week. Tons of clubs in this area that are so much fun. This is Party Central right here in San Antonio, right? But if I've got an emerald that I'm now addressing, I am absolutely not going to talk about the jalapeno margaritas to him. I'm not. But the person had the ability to get to a branch manager position. Somehow, the sapphire did. It would have to be through, recruiting good, talented emeralds to be around her to cover all those other things. And she's great with relationships and building relationships and entertaining the customers. That's what she's good at, right? So I would simply just talk about her effectiveness to make sure that I did do it. I said, her effectiveness to be able to run the bank, to make sure that everything balances correctly. She's incredibly efficient, and she's at the top of our organization because of her results. And that's what matters to an emerald. Me saying, oh my gosh, wait till you meet Heather. She's so awesome. Last night we got pissed. He knows what that is. We got pissed and then we got stuffed. That's a very different language. He knows exactly what I just said. All y'all that don't understand Australians, I just said two really bad words.
I know where my bank fees are going now.
Pissed is drunk, and stuffed is, we had a one-night stand. Yeah. So I'm not going to say that to him. No, of course, that's not appropriate, but, even in a bank setting, but people do things like that. So you want to edify according to what the gem is, right? Because, again, every person that you work with inside your organization has all four gems. They do. So you can point out the things that apply to that particular gem inside of that person, right? And again, it's all positioning. It's the packaging that you're presenting to that person, and that's how they're going to receive it and determines whether or not they trust it or whether or not he wants to leave the bank forever and pull the rest of his funds out and not continue, okay? You can go ahead and pass the mic. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Danny. It's a pleasure.
It was so nice meeting you. Thank you for your kind words that you spoke. I really appreciate it. And I've never met anyone that got married in the back of an elephant in Bali, so.
Yeah, the other person's down there.
Yes, that's really beautiful.
Okay. Thank you, Danny.
Yes. All righty. Okay. One more go. I just really have to give this man a hug. Seriously. Where's your beautiful bride?
She is
right there.
Right there.
Hi, beautiful.
Right there, yes.
She has the greatest husband. Yeah, she's like, yep, I do. All right, so I have to pretend like I don't know you.
Okay.
In order to do this. How many of you have ever heard me talk about an electrician? This is him. You've seen, I've made Facebook posts about him. I've done videos about him. I've talked about him on my show because this man is phenomenal, absolutely phenomenal at what he does. He's an electrician. He's a part of the family business. His father-in-law owns the business. I had no idea that his father-in-law owned the business. I thought he owned the business because the way he has complete ownership of it, the way he carries himself with it, straight up job domination, straight up. And you're building a legacy. It's a family business, so you have a vested interest in it. But there's a lot of guys that couldn't do that.
A lot.
Seriously.
A lot in that area. Definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially that line of work.
Yes.
It's not a desk job.
Absolutely not.
Mm-mm. No. Mm-mm. So we have two electrical guys up here. All right, so I have to pretend like I don't know you, and your name before everybody.
I'm John Mayhall. How are you?
Woo, there it is. This is John Mayhall. It's good. Okay, so what do you do?
I do electrical work. I'm a master electrician.
Master electrician. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? This has to go closer to your mouth.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have been the one to run up here first.
Tell me more about being a master electrician.
It's challenging.
Really?
Yes, challenging.
How is it challenging? I'm going to turn you a little bit this way so the camera can get your intense face.
Is it intense? Really?
Oh, yes.
Okay. It's just challenging as far as, dealing with customers and solving a problem that somebody has.
What's the biggest problem you've ever had to solve?
Oh, my. Probably restoring power to a hospital. Yeah.
Wow.
That was a big problem. A very big problem.
Yeah. How long did it take?
I believe we got there about 8 o'clock at night and finished about 4 in the morning.
Wow.
3 in the morning, something like that.
Wow. How many people?
4 of us.
Wow. Did you feel really accomplished after that?
Yes. Because we were the first ones to be called, and we were the first ones to respond, so, yeah.
And the first ones to get it done.
And the first ones to get it done, yeah. And now we're the first one they call. Yeah.
That's good. What do you love most about your work?
I guess the creation of doing the electrical work.
Tell me more about that.
And solving the problems, because if you have... let's see. Electrical runs everything. So if your TV doesn't work, I'm the first one you call, right? Or septic doesn't work. I'm in this area anyway where you have septic systems. I'm the first one you call. So it's reassuring and enjoying at the same time.
If my stove doesn't work?
If your stove doesn't work on Thanksgiving,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or quit working. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. With 25 pounds of potatoes on the stove?
Yeah.
And a 25-pound turkey in the oven?
Problem solver.
Yeah. So what do you not like about your work?
Attics.
Tell me more about that.
Climbing in attics in August in Texas isn't very fun at all. That's probably that or digging ditches. Those are probably the worst part. Other than that, it's all pretty enjoyable.
That's great. And you're married?
I am married.
How many children?
We have 3 daughters.
How old are they?
And they are 9, 7, and about 2, 2.5.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What do you like about being a father?
Oh, it's crazy.
Tell me
it's
more about
fun.
That.
It's exciting. They keep you on your toes and always got us going. Never really think I'd enjoy pink as much as I do, but beginning to enjoy it.
That's adorable.
So,
that's awesome. Okay, let's time out. All right, so what did you notice about his terminology? First thing out of his mouth, man. It's a challenge. First, did you hear anyone else say this? Could she have said it's a challenge? Sure she could have about her line of work. Could she have said, it's a challenge? Getting someone out of pain, that's a challenge. Could he have said, high voltage electrical work was a, could he have said that? He absolutely could have said that. But why didn't he say that? Because he's an emerald. Why did she not say her work was a challenge? Because she's a pearl. And why did she not say her work is a challenge? Because he's a sapphire. Do you understand? There's challenges in every single one of their jobs, but the only one
that's me.
Spit it out of his mouth. Do you understand? He spit it out of his mouth right away. So we could have had a Ruby massage therapist up here, and they would have described, I like the money. I'm the first one people call when they're in pain. It's a challenge to be able to solve major back issues. Do you understand? So that's why I'm trying to show you the different languages that each one of these people speak. Okay? So what other language did you hear them use besides challenge and first? Say what? Problem solving. What else? It's intense. Master electrician. I'm just not the low guy.
Nope, not anymore.
By the way, Jonathan, this is who I've been telling you about. This is the guy I've been telling you about. I want you to be my brother, Jonathan. Come here. First of all, my brother, Jonathan, is an amazing young man who takes on a challenge like no one else. Well,
awesome. That's good.
The kind of guy that loves to solve problems, and he's the kind of guy that jumps on it immediately. His ability to think in multiple different facets to come up with the quickest way to get it done.
Are you talking about me? Because Jonathan, I see where you're going with this.
I just edified my little brother as a ruby. Everything I said about my little brother is 1,000% true. Come here. I've been wanting to do this for however many years that I've been telling my little brother about you. He's moving to Kerrville in March. Okay.
Awesome.
Isn't it funny how he's like, are you talking about me?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So what other words did you hear him say that nobody else said? Say again? We already said that one. What's another one? I said accomplished. Did you feel accomplished? Yes, I did. Yes. 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 Versus, we're having lots of fun. Exploring lots of things. Yes, he's very competitive. He loves what?
That's right. Who said that?
You love cake?
Pink.
Pink. Didn't think I'd like pink, but I like pink now. Okay. What was his body language like?
Confident.
Very confident. Yep, carries himself very confident. But this one is not, he's not arrogant. John in no way is arrogant. He has amazing people skills, by the way, far before ever coming to First Steps this year. Like, you have impressed me from day one.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I've told you that many times.
I know you have.
I will continue.
Thank you every time you tell me.
Exactly, exactly. Okay, now, he's very casually dressed right now, but mind you, his line of work is very casually dressed, right? It's jeans and a polo. This is work clothes.
This is dressed up.
That's awesome. Okay, but his overall look. What do you see in the overall look? Clean cut. Clean cut haircut. He's clean shaven. His nice little goatee is like, you know, just right. Simple, practical. Someone says he works out.
I did. I haven't so much. I've got to get back into it, but.
Do you know what happens to guys like you? Do you know what happens to guys like you that stop working out?
Tell me.
Why don't you tell me? Have you ever seen guys that work out and then they stop? Tell me, John. What happens to guys like you? Who stop working out. Let's say it's not like you. Some other guy. They used to work out, used to be real fit, and then just stopped, just kind of got out of it. What happened to that guy?
I will not get fat. No.
Did you see that? He could not ever even entertain saying it. How many of us all knew the answer? We all know the answer. But he refuses. What? No what? No what?
I refuse it.
You refuse what?
Getting bigger.
Getting bigger?
Getting fat.
So what plan do you have to make sure that you don't get...
Spend a little more time in an attic.
It's wintertime, baby.
That's true. Dig some more ditches. Or get up at 5 a.m. again and go back to the gym. I think I'll go to the gym.
Why will you go back to the gym?
I really don't want to dig any more ditches. To stay fit.
So you're saying that you rather stay fit than the alternative.
Right.
Why do you want to stay fit, John?
So I can stay in shape.
Why do you want to stay in shape, John?
For my personal health.
For your personal health.
Sure.
Tell me why for your personal health that you want to stay in shape, John.
For my family. To stay healthy.
To stay healthy for your family.
And be first and win and anything.
So when will you be hitting the gym, John?
That's a very good question.
That you can stay fit and healthy for your family so you can continue to provide and be the first one to respond the next time the hospital goes down. And it doesn't bother you because you're fit and healthy, so you can work till 3 and 4 in the morning with no sleep, so that you can continue to be the number one and only chief master provider over your beautiful blonde wife and those 3 beautiful little girls that like all their pink toys and pink little dresses and their pink bedrooms.
So, and bathroom.
So, John, how long will it take you to get stronger than you are right now because you used to work out? How long will it take you to get back to the level of strength and physical fitness so you can ensure the health of the family, because your health determines the health of the family?
So you want a timeline? When I could start.
When do you plan on starting? When's day one?
Monday.
Really?
Sure, let's do it.
Really? Mm-hmm. So let me ask you a question. Is okay. Monday generally what everybody says and never starts?
I'm not everybody.
Okay. So would you like to have a plan that ensures your success of being stronger and able to stay healthy and strong and fit just like you did in high school? Or would you want to be that person that says they're going to start on Monday and then actually never gets around to it?
No. Yeah.
How does tomorrow sound?
Sure. What time?
5 a.m.?
Okay.
You said 5 a.m. was a good time to get up and start.
That's when the gym opens.
Yeah. What about some push-ups just on the floor?
Okay.
Go for it. Let me see what you can do. Ooh. Wow, those are militaries, too. You're doing tricep push-ups. You're good. I can see you know how to do that. You just started, so let's continue for tomorrow.
Right on.
Yeah. Okay. That was a close. That was a close, by the way. How you doing, Jackie?
That's a good one.
That was a close. On what? It's the truth. It's not about working out for his good looks. His entire family depends on him. And so does the family business depend on him. That's a responsibility, and it is a challenge. I also looked at these two options. So I'll start on Monday. Monday, just like everybody else says that usually fails. Oh, but I won't fail. Well, here's a guarantee of where you won't. Let's start now. He backed himself into that entire conversation,
good.
By the way. That was good.
It's good. All right.
Good. Okay. All right. So how not to approach a Ruby. You ready? Okay. Hi.
Hello.
doing there?
I'm doing good. How are you? Okay.
You're thinking I was going to faint, huh?
Sure, what was going to happen?
Yeah. How do you feel about me being so limp and
not very engaged in the conversation?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to even have a conversation?
No.
Why not?
Because there's not going to be anything there.
It's true. It's true. It's a waste of his
time.
Time really matters to rubies. Time really, really matters to rubies. They got a lot to do. They got a big list of things to charge through and to accomplish. So if there's any chance that you are going to waste their time, it's over and out. Where's the rubies? Agreed? You're like, rah. Yep. So you have to approach a ruby with confidence. Now, have just a little less than they do, but they will not respect you if you don't show yourself to be firm and confident. So good eye contact, a strong handshake. Even if you're not a ruby, you can squeeze a little harder that hand, because that, by the way, communicates confidence, and they like that. Okay, I'm working with the right person. I'm talking to the right person. I'm in the presence of the right person, right? Don't try to overpower them and show that you're stronger than you are. Then that just ticks them off, and now it's a one up. Let me show you how much better I am than you. Now we also have just wasted time. Okay? So don't waste their time. It's really important that you don't do that. You communicate real clear. So in the edification, I already edified my brother. I edified and I positioned and I packaged my brother to be a strong ruby. My brother is not a ruby at all. But can my brother do everything I said you could do? Absolutely. This kid has fixed crazy machines, done all the electrical of these things that, like, could cut your hand off. He's worked in a bindery his entire life. So he has fixed boats, cars, huge machinery, industrial machinery.
You have everything?
He has everything.
Nice.
Yep, he still has everything. Yep. Absolutely. So everything I said is absolutely true. But the way I positioned him was as a ruby. I'm like, oh, I like this guy. Yeah, I want to meet him. Why? Because rubies like who they are, and they want to be around people who are just like them. So that's how I'm going to sell or position my brother. Okay? All right. So if I say something like, man, you got to meet my brother. He's the nicest man that you will ever meet. He's a single dad, and he has this precious little girl who's just super encouraging. And he also loves to give massage, and he really is just really on 10. He just loves to bring healing into people's bodies. And so whenever someone has any kind of back pain, I mean, he just knows the right little place to touch, to just get it, and then just he just causes this release to happen all over. And I mean, he's just really, really passionate about changing the world and bringing the light of God into really dark places. And he just, I mean, he's like the neighborhood dad. How you doing, dude?
I'm good. I'm trying to stay with you here.
Have you gone through your task list yet of things that you need to get done while I was talking?
A little bit.
Because I was speaking pearl. He's not interested in that. This is a godly man, by the way, an absolute godly man. He's amazing. He loves God. He's passionate about God. He's fully committed to God. But my pearl language of talking about my brother's love for the same God is making him go, I have got 10,000 things I need to do right now. So if you want to engage a ruby, you need to speak their language. You want to captivate their ears and captivate their attention? Speak their language. It goes for each one of these gems. So many of you say, how do I get people to listen to me? Speak what they can understand. Speak what they understand. I keep him engaged by having ruby conversation out of my tongue. That caused this one to probably go, are we done yet? My feet are hurting. Are we done yet? My feet are hurting. Do you understand? Do you get what I'm saying? So if I'm not speaking his language, and again, I'm talking about the same person. I'm talking about the same person. Just highlighting the different side of that personality, okay? By the way, any of you here local, and you, this is the speed dial one electrician that you call. He is the absolute best. He's the absolute best. Super fast, super efficient, amazing people skills, always comes through, always comes through. I have never worked with somebody like this in the line of work that you do, and even beyond. You really impressed me so much that I got on Facebook many times and talked about you. You've set a great
blew
example.
Me away. My wife and I both. Yeah.
You're a blessing. You really are. Yes. Okay. Let's give these guys a hand as they go back to their seats. Thank you. Bless you. Okay. Did you learn anything about how to communicate with these gems? Yes. Do you feel you got a little bit of a deeper understanding of who they are? Most importantly, how to communicate with them? Okay. We're going to give you the opportunity to go even deeper every single exercise that we're going to do here this weekend. But first, you need to pee. Let's take a 15-minute break. Not 16 minutes, not 17 minutes, 15. Hurry up, yo. All right. Hi. Marsha. Okay, can we have, Hey, you know what? This is going to be very challenging right now, but I know that the rubies are going to be able to help me take charge because I really am going to need you to help get this room organized to do the very next thing that we're going to do. We need to, wow, girlfriend, that is a hot dress. You look amazing. That is really cute. You look incredible. By the way, great video on Hot Marriage Secrets. That was very creative. I absolutely loved that video. That was so good. All right. Now, what we're about to walk in right now has changed my life more. Actually, earlier this morning, I had you write down your beliefs, right? Your beliefs about, okay? I put myself through that exercise last May, at the last May Dynasty. And that's when I had created this exercise. And writing down all of the non-beneficial beliefs and then the five things that you have to change. I cannot tell you how different my own mind is today versus it was last Dynasty. And how do I know? Because I have the paper that I wrote. You want to keep those papers because you'll have the opportunity to look back 6 months from now when we are at creating a dynasty again because we are all layers. I had watched one of my very most precious, most loyal client wrestling with some stuff this morning. And I was like, what's up? And he's like, dude. He goes, I uncovered a whole nother thing again, a whole nother one, a new thing. And it literally is like, there's so many of you that are going to have massive breakthrough because the things that you moved out of the way, these beliefs that you uncovered, that now you see them, now you're self-aware. It's when we're not self-aware that we keep doing the same stupid things over and over again. But now you're more aware of these things, so now you're not apt to do them as much. And then, of course, tonight we're going to dig deep and get a lot of stuff out of the way. But this exercise, so that exercise as far as really following the fruit to the root, massively changed my life. And it continues to change my life. This isn't just one thing you walk through at a dynasty. I do this in other personal times of my life as well, where it's a time of introspective, looking at the fruit that's full-blown, everyone can see on my tree, right? Because everyone can see it. In fact, everyone else can see the fruit more than you can. Did you hear me? Everyone else can see the fruit than you can. They see more facets of you. And the heart is deceitful above all else. So, but this next exercise and what we'll be doing tonight, these are like monumental for me. Absolutely monumental. There's so many questions that you guys had about getting people to follow you and, you know, whether the spouse doesn't listen to you or you feel like you've been passed over in your career, or you're just hitting your head up against the wall with your team. You just feel like, gosh, Why is this not getting fixed? And or you get frustrated with dealing with the same issues over and over and over again. This next exercise is going to elevate your leadership better, wider, faster, and more effectively than GEMS. This next exercise is much more important than GEMS. This exercise trumps GEMS. This next thing you're about to learn, this new skill set that you're going to develop, that you think you already have, will help your income dramatically rise. You will become an amazing closer, and no one will feel like they're being closed. Which means you're leading. Leaders close. They close deals. Not because they're a heavy-handed, pressurizing closer, but it's because of the leadership and how they lead a conversation and look for the win-win. They look for the match. They're not trying to make a cheetah not have spots. They're looking to see what the strengths are within the person and see how is it a match? How can it gel together? How can this flow together? This next skill that you will develop will help you to unify your family and the team that you work with at work, as well as with your clients, those you choose that you want to be unified with. This one exercise will also help you to identify what the real problems are inside of your organization and inside of the family. The real problems. Not the ones you assume you think are there. I'm talking about the real ones. The ones that are beneath the surface. That keep rearing their ugly head and all we do is react to it. Now, what I want you to do right now is I want you to write down that what do you do when you make a mistake? How do you handle your personal failures and mistakes? What's your knee-jerk reaction? Knee-jerk reaction. Does a sounding alarm go off in your head, you idiot? How many of you, that's you, right away? You idiot, I can't believe you did that, okay? For some of you, now listen, I just saw several couples put up their hands. You both feel that way. That would be the greatest way to disarm each other. I'll tell you about that in a minute. How many of you, right away, you try to solve it? Like right away, the person's still talking, they're frustrated, they're mad about it, but right away you're like, okay, wait a second, but I thought I did that. Oh crap, did I leave that thing off? Wait, no, but hold on a second. I'm going through the procedure in my head. How many of you do this? Okay. How effective is that in solving the problem? You're about to find out. So when somebody comes at you and says, this is what you did, and, well, let me ask you, have you ever gone to somebody, made a complaint, you're frustrated about something, and you can see that they're thinking about something completely different? What does that do to you? It makes you more mad. It actually elevates the problem. Escalates the problem. It doesn't solve the problem. When you're going through the processes in your head and trying to prove, no, but wait a second, but didn't you get this email? But didn't you get this confirmation? But wait a second, did you push this? Was your computer on? All this does is escalate the anger. That's it. But this one skill you are about to develop is going to help you de-escalate frustration in the people you work and live with. It is going to help you disarm contention and conflict and strife. This exercise is going to help you then bring a solution and close that deal. Close the deal. Just like, for example, with the emerald that I had on the stairs, you feel fully satisfied. Tell me how you see this should be done. What kind of ideas do you have in this? What would help you feel really good, solid, and satisfied with this? What's the solution you're really looking for? This, and then I closed him. Great. I'm excited that we're going to continue in this long, loyal relationship. Good to see you again. Do you know him?
I do now.
That's awesome. Like you just met?
Today.
It's awesome. It's cool. I know him too. I do know him. Very teachable young man. Anyway. very focused and driven and determined as well. Has some amazing results. Anyway. So, how's your son?
Fantastic.
Good. Good. Did he turn 4?
Almost.
Next month he turns 4. Cool. I met her in an airport. Anyway. How many of you have witnessed on stage when I'm forming people that I'm able to regurgitate everything right back? How many of you would love to possess that skill? I'm about to walk you through the exercise right now. I'm going to hand you the skill right now to where when you're forming somebody, bam, there it is. Okay? This is going to help you close more deals. This is going to help you unify your organization. This is going to help you find the solutions faster, because inside the person that is frustrated, the solution is in them. The solution is already in them. So if you stay out of your head of trying to solve the problem, but instead you put into practice what you're about to learn, the solution just presents itself and you hit the bullseye. You're going to close more deals, which means you're going to make more money. Your team is going to be unified, which means you're going to make more money. It's going to be more efficient. Your family is going to have more peace and harmony and move together towards something powerful. This skill set is going to show you how to be elevated to a higher leadership role in your career and in your community. Whatever it is that you do for a living, this is the quintessential skill set to possess. Better, bigger than gems. This trumps gems. This trumps building wealth. This trumps everything. Because the people that possess this skill will always build wealth, will always lead powerful teams, will always bring in innovation, will build great loyalty, and have lots of sex with their spouse. With their spouse. We'll have far more fun, and help a whole lot of people and change the world. This one thing can change the world. This one skill can change the world. The best communicators in the world all possess this one skill. They all possess this one thing, and they are masters at it. Here's what we need to do. If there is a chair, I want you to look down your row. If there is an empty seat, everyone needs to move in this way. Move a seat until all the seats are taken. I want all the empty chairs on the edges. So if there's not an empty seat, move in this way. Everyone's going to move this way. No. Court. Toby. Everyone moves this way. All you get up and move out. Move in. Everyone moving, you're going to squeeze towards the center. Even you guys on the edges, squeeze toward the center. I want all the empty seats on the outside. Squeeze in. And if there is an empty seat, empty seats in the back, okay? Raise your hand if there's an empty seat next to you. Okay, look, I want you guys to fill in. I need, every row has to be completely solid in order for this to work. So we all need to work together. You are yours. And this is going too fast. It's the only thing that sucks about my job. These kids coming to the event, that whole end of the row and those end of the rows are empty. Thank you so much. So can you guys, we have like 5 open seats here near the front. Those of you from the back, there's 7. Those of you who are sitting in the back that has scattered rows, and I want those chairs out of here. Fill them in over here. Come on over here. Hey, Zach Mulder. That is one fine, very brilliant young man right there that happens to be married to my daughter, who, by the way, is in escrow on his third rental property or third piece of property, which actually will be a total of 5 properties. Yeah, you guys might not sit together, and that'll be just fine. Just one of you sit right there, and there's 2 extra seats right there. Sit down. Fill them all in. From this moment forward, we have to make sure that all the seats are taken. Otherwise, these exercises do not, they will not have the fulfillment that they need. They create problems when there's empty seats. Okay? So all the empty seats, we have a front row seat. We need to add a chair. Is it unequal? Well, that's strange. Yeah. The chair lord is going to take care of it. Chair lord. You have 2 empty seats in the second row. Who wants to sit in the second row from the back? You have to empty seat from the back. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. Now listen, we are not going to complain like a bunch of third graders. We are all adults, right? So we are going to be challenged throughout the whole weekend where I'm going to put you through incredibly uncomfortable circumstances to see how you respond. Uncomfortable, imperfect. I'm going to create problems all weekend on purpose, so that you have the opportunity to put your big girl and your big boy chonies on and to lead instead of to react. Lead instead of react, okay? So this is going to be one of those moments. Every other row is going to turn their chairs around and face the people that are behind them. So the first row, the third row, the fifth row, the seventh, the ninth, the 11th. Go ahead and tap each row that needs to turn and turn your chairs around and face the people behind you. We are going to do this many times over the next 2.5 days. You're going to have the opportunity to identify some gems right now. You're going to have the opportunity to speak the language in which you just had your ears opened up to hear. You're not going to have to remember what was said from the stage, because you're actually going to be talking to people right there next to you, okay? Volunteers, please pass out the exercise. This skill set is going to help to elevate your honor with other human beings. When you see the title of it, you're going to be surprised. Like, really? This one exercise does all of this? Yes, this is called listening. So here's how this is going to work. We dishonor people by not listening to them. We dishonor people by trying to solve their problem without listening to them. We dishonor people by not asking them for their opinion. We also dishonor people by not allowing them to share their emotions, shutting them down. We dishonor people by not hearing what they're saying, but instead jumping to conclusions, making assumptions, and of course those beautiful judgments that we canceled out this morning. Those are usually the things that are talking. So here's how this works. Section 1 has 10 questions. Basically, they're forming questions. We need one person in each group. And here, I'm sorry to rubberneck it, but again, I told you I am creating situations where you are going to be tempted to complain on purpose. All right, these are the aisles. I screwed that up completely. We don't have a worksheet. There we go. That's an aisle. We have 4 sections. Okay. This is an aisle. Okay. So right over here, This is you guys, that wing and here, right? So from the center out, okay? This is that aisle over there, from the center out. So right here, the person on the edge that is back is against me right now, okay? People on the edge, raise your hand. Meaning you're facing people on the edge looking at the back of the room. Raise your hands. Okay. You are number one. Person to their left, raise your hand. That is person two. Person across from number two, raise your hand. You can see me. That's person three. Person number four next to number three, raise your hand. You can see me. Number four. Okay? One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. What's wrong with you?
Both ends think they're one.
No.
So that
makes it unchanged,
but the room is
both edges? I said the edges next to the aisle.
Aisle?
Who's an aisle?
So
yes, that's an aisle. Person number one. Yes. That's not an aisle. This is the aisle that I drew out. That person is not a one. This person is a one. This is an aisle, meaning that aisle, okay? We do this every dynasty. What's the problem? Sure. Thank you. Put your hands together and get into a group of four. That'll find your four. Okay. Shh. Everybody should be in a group of four. Now, person number one is right here. Raise your hand, person number one. Okay, good. Person number one is facing the wall. Look down your row. You guys don't know. What? Tony, raise your hand. See the center aisle? These are all number ones right here. So then it goes down, every other one. Person number two, raise your hand. Person number three, number four. There we go. Let's try again. Person number one, number two, number three, they're all confused. This is so cute. At least they're showing they're confused. I am confused. Number one, raise your hand. You're not a number one. Exactly. See the four? This is number one. This is number two. This is number three. This is number four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. One, two, three, four. You're a group of four, right? So person number one, raise your hand. There's four people. There's two facing the back wall. There's two facing me. Number one is on the right. Who's facing the wall? Here it is. Get in your group of four again. Keep your hands connected. Number one, raise your hand. There we go. There we go. There we go. Number two, raise your hand. Number three, raise your hand. Number four, raise your hand. We got it? Let's try it again. Number one. Number three. Number two. Number four. Number one. Jen. Number one, raise your hand. Number two. Three. Four. Number four. One. Three. Two. And check this out. These people following directions right here. They still have their fists together. You are never told to let go of your fists. You're just told to raise your hand. Number one. This is number one. Oh, no, you're right. You're right here. Number one. Four. Two. Three. Three. Four. Two. One. Do you know who you are?
Yeah.
All right. So, you have one too many people. Who has an opening? Move. That's exactly the opposite. All right, we're just going. Oh, somebody drew four circles on there. What's that? One, two, three. There is not a number five. Nice one, Mr. South Africa. Okay. One, you are going first. You have 2 minutes to talk about yourself using the 10 questions in this exercise. Hold on, please. What you're going to do is you have to talk for the entire 2 minutes. Everyone is going to do this. All four of you are going to do this exercise. The bell is going to ring every 2 minutes. Now, there's rules for both. The one talking, you have to talk for the entire 2 minutes. There's 10 questions. The sapphires are probably going to get through half of those questions. The emeralds are going to have to go back through it twice. Okay? The pearls will make it to about somewhere in number 8. And the rubies, I'm sure, will complete it really fast. So, you have to talk for the entire 2 minutes. And what I want the group to do, so number 2, 3, and 4, what you're going to do is I want you to imagine that you are sitting with somebody who is someone that you admire and respect to the highest level. Let's say that there is someone in your field that that you've always wanted to meet. Maybe it's a famous dead person. Could be a famous dead person. Someone that you know, Einstein. Oh, man, I wish I could have met Einstein. Whoever. I want you to imagine somebody that you wished you had 5 minutes with. But in this case, you have 2 minutes with. Okay? So I want you to practice some communication skills, nonverbal communication skills of listening. Because listening is a nonverbal communication skill. So, how would you sit if you had 2 minutes with this person? What would your eye contact be like? Do you understand? Would you be taking notes? Do you understand what I'm saying? Would you be smiling? What does smiling say to a person who's talking? You're listening. You're engaged and you're hearing them. Okay? And that's straight up honor. All right? So, persons 2, 3, and 4, you are going to pay attention. You're going to listen. And as you're listening, you're going to hear their gem speaking to you. You're going to hear that. Now, they have a cheat on their name tag. Their name tells you what gem they are. Okay? So you're going to get to now hear this language over and over again so that you're learning what the language is of the gems that are in front of you. Okay? What you want to do when you're taking notes is I want you to write down in section 2 3 qualities that you admire about the person who is talking. You can see it. You write their name and just write down 3 things that you admire about the person talking. Okay? So, you have 2 minutes to talk. You must talk for the entire time. And the other people are going to practice listening skills. When the bell rings, it goes to the next person. So it's going to ring every 2 minutes. Okay? You can do this. I can tell you're ready for this. On your mark, get set, go. We gotta stop. Stop. Pause that timer. Let me help you with some presentation skills. If you're not smiling, when you're talking, you look really boring and ugly. No joke. You look mad. If you're not smiling, you're not promoting, you're not selling, you're not honoring, you're saying I reject you, you're saying I don't care that I'm even talking to you. Do you understand? Listening is one side, but learning to engage your audience is another side. So if you're not smiling when you're talking in this setting, or in any setting, honestly, if you're not showing those teeth, you're not expressing yourself, you're putting your listeners to sleep. And it's not honoring, because a frown says what? You learned at First Steps. What does a frown say? I'm ticked at you. I don't like you. I don't want to know you. I don't want you around me. Get away from me. That's what a frown says. So when you're communicating to your kids, your spouse, your teams, your staff, and you're communicating even something that's terrible, you can still do it with a smile. You can do it with a smile. A smile helps them to be more engaged and to want to hear what you have to say. Okay? So you who are number three right now, smile. It changes what you will say. It changes how you will say it. This example that we had on the stage earlier today with this young man who was talking about the kind of correction that he had, and I asked him, and I knew when he said that, you know, he felt condemnation is what he felt. Why? There was not encouragement when he did something right, or at least that he can remember. So when he's being disciplined, I wrote about this in Grooming the Next Generation for Success, that when you correct your child or you correct an employee, you correct somebody that's completely out of line, whoever it is, you got to sandwich it with encouragement. So it's you start off with edification, you bring the correction, and then you end with edification. And you never condemn the person. You will definitely correct the action, but don't condemn the person. The person always needs to walk away feeling that they're good, and it's just simply they made a mistake and this choice has consequences, and that you're confident they'll be able to succeed moving forward, and that they're going to learn from this experience because they're smart. When you're correcting, you better be smiling. But this isn't correcting. This is getting to know a new person. Some of you are frowning when you're talking. Frowning doesn't make you good looking. It doesn't make anyone want to hear you. It makes all of them turn off. And guess what they're thinking? Like, are they mad about something? Am I in trouble? Did I do something wrong? Do you understand what I'm saying? So don't make the person think about what you're trying to say. Smile captivates them. And they will hear what you are trying to say. So let me see your teeth. Oh my gosh, you feel so much better. No, dude, blue shirt. Right here, baby. I caught you. Yeah, I caught you. You're like, I ain't smiling. You got a great smile. Yeah, you're smiling now. You're smiling now. I want to see your teeth, Mr. Abraham Lincoln over there. I love that beard. Yeah, no, right? There it is. Man, you look 10 years younger when you're showing your teeth. Everyone is better looking. Even they got jacked up teeth, even though they only have four left and they're black. Everyone looks better when they're smiling. Number three, resume with a smile and start talking. Smile while you're listening. All right, that was better. That was better. Show me your grill. Ha, even when it's perfect like that. Perfect grill. You had braces? You are the first ever African American I have ever met in my life that has had braces, not once, but twice. Never. So it's like 1 in 1,000. I ask every single time, did you have braces? They would say, no. White people, did you have braces? Yeah, 3 times. All 5 of my kids have perfect teeth. I don't know how they got them that. Look at that. Perfect. No braces. Of course not. Okay, smile. Whatever. Smile. You are much more attractive when you smile. You are believable when you smile. When you smile, I want to trust you. You are disarming when you smile. You are engaging when you smile. If all you do is leave creating a dynasty and do that, you will stand out of the crowd. People will remember you because you are doing what? Because nobody else does it. Seriously, people just frown everywhere. Come on. Go, number four. Okay. Good job. That was better. It got better and better. There's more and more smiles. Jeez. Smile just does it, man. Okay. Now, person number one, raise your hand. Person number two, raise your hand. Okay. Person number one, raise your hand again. Just want to make sure you know who you are. Okay. So person number one, you are going to be what we call the first receiver. For what? New, fresh seed. Person number two is the first giver. You're going to have about 45 seconds to give good seed to person number one. The three things that you wrote down that you admired about the person while they were talking, you're now going to speak those three things to them. Now, for those of you who are grads, you have a certain gem that's in front of you. You can speak their language. You can practice that right now. And how you're going to communicate this seed to them, communicate it in their language, not yours. And you don't make this moment about you, about what you like. And that you make me feel good because I like the way you said this, or I also like playing chess. That's making it about you. How you make it about them is, I really appreciate how you like to play chess. It's really fascinating how good you are at that game and how focused you are on it. If they said that what they like to do is to play chess versus, I like to do that too. This isn't, when you're communicating with other people, it's not about you. And if it's about pulling the best out of another person, if it's only about what you like, then you're only ever looking for people who are just like you. You'll never build a well-rounded team. And you can't certainly build a well-rounded family if everyone has to like what you like. Do you understand? Unity is not everyone is the same. It's diversity in harmony. How do we get to a place of harmony? Recognizing the strengths in each other and celebrating what those strengths are. Celebrating what other people like to celebrate, not just celebrating what you like. But making it an effort to honor that they have something. That, I just heard a woman go, I love to organize. I'm like, you're my best friend. With a big smile on her face. I love to organize. I organized my friend's room last night at midnight. Like, wow. Can we be friends? Can we be friends? Can we? There's a song, right? Okay. So person number two is going to share with person number one what they wrote, about what they admired about them. If you want to take this to a higher level, communicate the language of the listener, okay? If you don't, that's okay. If it's hard enough for you to just say to another person what you admired about them, then let that be your first step. Don't even worry about the gem right now. Just get this through this first step of giving this word of encouragement to them, okay? So you're going to hear the bell ring. What I encourage you to do is to have one person in the group be a scribe, to write down what everyone else is saying until it's their turn to speak. So number four is going last to speak to number one, so they might be the scribe first. Does that make sense? To write down. And then you're just going to pass the form around in the same circle. The form is following the next speaker. Okay? So person number one, raise your hand. They're the first receiver. Person number two, raise your hand. You're the first giver. Person number three, raise your hand. You're the next giver. Person number four, you're the next giver. Now what do we do? It's now person number two's time to be what? The receiver. So now person number three is the first giver, number four, and then number one to give. Do we understand? Simple? Do you got it? Person number one. First receiver. Person number two, you're now going to give three things that you admire about this person. Bell rings, then what? Person number three gives the three things. Then the bell rings. Person number four gives. Ready? Go. You have to talk for the entire 45 seconds. So that means you might want to elaborate a little bit if you're saying it too fast. I want you to communicate heart to heart. Let's get beyond the surface. Excellent. Person number two, raise your hand. You are the next receiver. Person number three, raise your hand. You're the first giver. Go for it. Okay. Shh. Person number three, raise your hand. You are the next receiver. Person number four, raise your hand. You're the giver. Go. Okay. You are done. Shh. From that list of nine words of encouragement spoken over you, there's a new brand of you that is forming. I want you to pull out three labels, new labels, from the nine things, because there's some common ground in the things that everyone said. So what three new labels will you choose to wear? You came in here with some old labels. This weekend, you're going to form the new ones based on what is already in you. When you're done doing that, take the next 3 minutes to answer the questions on the back of the form. I want you to decorate those three labels. Maybe you put them on post-it notes and you post them in your hotel room and in your car and at your office. Maybe it's three labels that you put, three words that you put on your phone. This is me. Every time you turn on your phone, those three words are speaking to you. Versus stupid, ugly, fat, idiot, dumb, bad. But the new labels. Okay, now what we're going to do is one, person number one, raise your hands. You have 2 minutes to share what you learned from this experience. What revelation did you have about yourself? You can use the questions as a guide. But I want you to practice the skills of communicating with a smile and being really honest. Don't perform, but present. Those are two very different things. Present the truth and the authenticity of who you are, but don't try to perform. People can see through performance. I hope you know that I'm being real. Like, I don't know how to act like someone else. This is it, right here. Man's been in my house, seen me in my pajamas, my robe, and my workout clothes. No joke. Okay. Fresh out of shower with a head full of wet hair. I can't believe he ever came here. And honestly, it was from Facebook. Literally. Yeah, we became friends on Facebook, and then he started seeing all these other posts, both of them, and had no idea that they had bought one of the books, had no idea they had any of the materials or even followed anything that we had. No clue. It's very embarrassing the day I found out. Like, horribly embarrassing the day I found out. I'm like, whoa, awesome. So, just be you. Just be you. Just be you. We live in such a fake world. Do you understand? So because we live in such a fake world, people are looking for the real you more than ever. The plastic, people hate it. How many of you hate the plastic? You hate the facade, right? You just want people to be real, right? So just be real. So if there's like something that was really hard hitting, say it. Say it. Be real. I want you to have the freedom to express yourself. I want you to feel what that feels like so that you can create that environment for other people at home and at work. You create the environment where people can express themselves. This is where loyalty is birthed. Where they can be honest and you're a safe place for their honesty. Okay? If there's something joyful that you learned in it, share it. But just be you. All right? So smile, eye contact. Unless you're going to blow snot out of your nose and ball your eyes out, then do it well. Freaking go for it. Okay. You see me do it all the time, do you not? Okay. All right. You need a tissue, please? Okay. All right. So person number one, you're first. You have 2 minutes to share. Then person number two has 2 minutes to share. Then person number three. So again, don't lose your listening skills. This is not time for you to now interrupt the person who's talking. This is not time for you to say, oh, me too. No, I want you to keep practicing the listening skills of all you do is shut up, full eye contact, fully engaged with the person and hear what they're saying. Okay. And by the way, if you want to practice gems, listen in their gem. Like, how do I do that? Well, show me the face of listening for a pearl. There you did it! That's the nonverbal communication communicating to the other gem. Now, show me the listening skills of an emerald. You guys are doing it. Now, show me the listening skills of a ruby. Nice. Whew, I can feel that power. Okay, show me the listening skills of a sapphire. Yeah. You guys totally got it. Isn't that simple? Isn't that so simple? Because again, 93% of all communication is? So you are listening and you're communicating when you're listening, right? You're communicating when you're listening. So communicate in the gem of the person speaking. Okay? Communicate in the gem of the person speaking. Go for it. Okay. You should be done. There is one more, Danny Johnson. Pay attention. So you are right on track. Excellent job sticking to the bells. Awesome. Amazing. Thank you so much. Okay. That was number four. Good job. Okay, I'm going to keep your chairs how they are because we're going to move into another exercise. So for some of you, you're going to have to rubberneck it. Again, I'm giving you a perfect opportunity to complain, but you will restrain from being a third grader, right? Okay. So, and you will leave the selfishness behind you of wanting everything to be customized to you, and this is really the best way for us to keep moving and get through this next learning experience. Did any of you learn anything about yourself in that last exercise? Did you learn that you suck at listening? How many of you thought you were good at it? Usually those that think they're good at it really are not. It's true. I suck at it. I do. I really suck at it and forever working on getting better at it. But that one massively changed my life 27 years ago. I started closing deals after that. Yeah. Solving problems after that. Yeah. Like I said, I still suck at it, but I'm doing better than I did 27 years ago. Better than I did a year ago. Better than I did 6 months ago. Should definitely be high on the list. So this next exercise, you're actually going to use the same skill sets of communicating in this gem thing and listening thing. You know, today we live in a world that is so digital, and it's becoming less and less intimate, which really works great for all of us because those who are able to have great conversations and communicate in an unusual way causes people to stand out of the crowd. So I'm going to show you in using some digital technology, using your communication skills to be able to express a thought in 30 seconds that is clear and has everything in it to cause people to make a decision and to act on something, okay? Everybody here has a story. Every human has a story. And today there's so much communication that happens through the fingertips, on video, right? Through blogs, through phone calls. Facebook is all about communicating, isn't it? How many of you are on Facebook? Okay. Some people are on it too much, yeah. So when you can get your point across in a way that is engaging with people, they have a tendency of gravitating towards you. So I want to teach you a skill set that I've used with you many times that you will use leaving here. And it's being able to tell your story in a way that matters to the listener. Now, for some of you, you might think, who would I tell my story to and what is my story? You have a story. Everybody has a story. This is going to help those of you who are in a business where you present a product or a service, an opportunity. This will help you close better. Because facts tell, stories sell. The same thing is that stories are really engaging, really engaging. And if you don't tell stories, you're not as engaging as the person who does tell stories. So let me show you how to tell your story. Go ahead, team, and pass out the 30-second story form, please. Facts tell, stories sell. Stories are emotional. So therefore, they have to have emotional content, Emeralds. There has to be emotional content in the story. Otherwise, you lose people. Stories have emotional content that could be, I don't know, sad, can be funny. The point of a story is to generate a me too from the listener. That you're identifying with whoever it is that you're talking to when you're presenting that story. So this form has a formula for how to tell your story. So you're simply going to fill it out. If you notice, there's not too much room to write. And that's for a reason, which means that you have to choose your words wisely. So let me give you the formula. It's really simple. This story would be used if you're doing a presentation, depending on how long your presentation is, determines how much of your story you divulge. If it's a 5-minute presentation, you got about 30 seconds. You might even have to do it in 15 seconds. So in that case, that story for me is, grew up on welfare, pregnant at 17, homeless at 21, millionaire at 23. Today, multimillionaire who uses 100% of the income that would be given to me for the poor instead of myself. 15 seconds. Okay? So depending on the format of your presentation, if it's 3 days, you're going to spend about 30 minutes telling your story, which is what I do at First Steps to Success. If it's an hour-long presentation, you might have about 2 minutes to give your story, okay? But if you have a presentation where it requires lots of testimonials in it, there's two types of testimonials. Maybe there's one for the product. There might be 5 people giving a story. It's 15 seconds a person. If it's given a testimony for about a business opportunity, it's 30 seconds. That's a 30-second story. There's 5 people given that testimony, it's a 30-second story, okay? So this is called the 30-second story. So I'm going to show you how to express your story in 30 seconds. So because all of you signed an agreement that you are not here to recruit business for yourself, we all have one thing in common. What is the one thing in common? First Steps to Success. We had to graduate from First Steps in order to come to Creating a Dynasty. So we're going to practice selling First Steps to Success. We're going to practice presenting that as an opportunity to somebody else, and you've got 30 seconds to do it. So you're going to write down your name and where you're from. You know, I don't know. I'm from San Antonio, Texas. So that's what it would say. You're not giving your history of all the cities you've lived in, sapphires, and actually emeralds. Okay, but where you're from right now, okay? So what your name is, where you're from, and then the statement is prior to plugging in to DannyJohnson.com, or let's edit that, prior to DannyJohnson.com. So scratch out plugging into. By the way, I'm in a major edit season right now in my life. Major editing. It's a pruning season for me right now. So we just edited the form. Thank you. prior to DannyJohnson.com, now you're going to state your problems that you had. You see, something brought you here, right? Why did you come to this event? What were you looking for? What problem did you have or thing that you were wrestling with, circumstance that you were in, with the least amount of details to share, but emotional content? I am literally teaching you how to write sales copy right now. So you have to state the problem. Every presentation needs to have me too's with the audience, and every presentation has to present a problem and then a solution, okay? Every presentation presents a problem and a solution, all right? So they want to know who you are, and then you state the problem, and here's the solution. So that's the formula. Me too's, problem, solution. Okay? So my name is Danny Johnson. I'm from San Antonio, Texas, prior to DannyJohnson.com. And then it's I was. So were you in debt? Were you hating your job? Was your marriage a mess? Fill in the blanks. There's a few bullet points there. So go ahead and fill in whatever those problems were. And then you're going to give the solution. I'll give you just a couple seconds to fill that in. Some of you are writing while I'm talking, which I think is great. It saves us time. So fill it in. How many of you were struggling with debt? You're like, I still am. Well, of course you are. It's going to take a few years to pay that off. It's 5 to 7 years. It's not going to happen tomorrow, right? So how many of you came here because of the debt? You heard you would learn how to pay off your debt. How many of you got here because of that? Wow, check that out. It's like maybe 25 people. That's amazing. So you're not coming here because of debt. Why did you come? She said, my life sucked. How many of you came here because your life sucked and there was apparently solutions for it? Wow. I hope somebody on our marketing team is writing all this down. Okay, thank you, baby. Okay, so my life sucked. That's the exact phrase that was used. My life sucked, and I heard that it would get better if I came here. Did it work?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Okay, how many of you needed to make more money? That's why you came here. Wow. Okay, that's a lot. Made more money. So you needed to increase your income, and that's why you came. All right. Why else? How many of you wanted to start a business? How old are you, young man?
12.
We have a 12-year-old that just said, because I wanted to start a business. Who wanted to start a business? And that's why you came. Okay? Awesome. What else? I wanted to build better relationships. Who came here because you wanted to build better relationships? Between making more money and relationships, those are the two predominant ones that the most hands are coming up on. Let me see that again. Wanted to have better relationships. Okay. Wanted to make more money. Actually, relationship wins. Interesting. Okay. So whatever it was, what you need to do on those bullets is express what the need was. That's what you got to do right there, is express what the need was. So you want to use words that are expressive and paint a picture. Use words that create a word picture in someone's head. So when you say better relationships, does that create a word picture? Not at all. Good job. Because it's non-specific. But what would paint a word picture? Okay, so I'm terrible in relationships. That sort of is, that maybe describes the relationships, but I'm still not quite getting the emotion. What's the result of having terrible relationships? Falling apart at the seams. Does that give you a word picture? Yes. So my relationships were falling apart at the seams. My relationship with who? My relationship with my husband was falling apart at the seams. Does that give you a very specific word picture? Can you feel the pain of it? Yes, you can feel the emotion actually in that statement, okay? So what I can tell you is all powerful communicators communicate with emotion. That's what Hollywood is all about. That's what your news channels are all about, okay? Every word that they're choosing, Every script that is written is to get emotion. Every radio and television show host, it is all about emoting, emotion. Okay, so you want to use that same thing. Why? People connect emotionally. This is why we watch sitcoms. This is why we read this, the kind of books that we read, is because we're humans and we like to connect emotionally. So what are some other things that you could use to describe wherever it was that your relationships were? Ooh, stuck in a prison cell. Stuck in a prison cell. Wah-ha. Say again. Crushing isolation. Disaster waiting to happen. Suffocating in my relationships. How about I felt trapped? Have you ever felt trapped in relationships? Oh, that's a really bad one. Okay, let's talk about debt. How many of you have learned a system of paying off debt since you've been here? Okay. So how many of you have debt? Sorry. Gorgeous. How many have debt? Okay. Most people you know are in debt. Most of them are. So when you say, well, I was in debt, that really doesn't say much. And it's like, yeah, that's a me too. But how can we describe the debt?
Drowning in debt.
Drowning in debt. Okay, I want my new guys. Where's my new team? I want to talk to the new team. Okay, new team, tell me, what descriptive emotional words could you use to describe? All you have to do is think about the pain of your debt. That's it, and the words will come. What? Slavery to my debt? Paralyzing? And bondage?
Depressing?
Choked. I felt choked by my debt? Buried under my debt? Hopeless is, that doesn't really give me, like buried. Buried gives me a word picture, doesn't it? Suffocating gives me a word picture. Okay, but hold on. What was the word that you just spoke? Hopeless. What word picture do you get from hopeless? There's not a word picture. There's not a picture that comes to your mind versus buried. Do you know what buried is? Do you know what suffocating is? You can't breathe. Do you understand? Versus I was hopeless. Hopeless is just one of those descriptive words that do not give me a word picture. So if you can create a word picture in someone's mind, then you're engaging them. They are hearing you. They're listening. They're identifying with it. They're feeling the same thing. Again, people make decisions on emotion. People make decisions on emotion. They make decisions on their feelings. They don't make decisions on facts, sadly. Facts tell, and that includes every emerald in this room. We like facts and figures, but it's about how the facts and figures make us feel. We feel better when we have the facts and figures. So it's, again, about a feeling still. So it's all about emotion. All right, so what are some other descriptive words to describe your debt? Weighed down, crushing, crippled. Oh, what a word. Okay, but see, taking away my freedom, what word picture do you get? There's no word picture on that. So what word picture, if you lost your freedom, where would you be? Imprisoned. Shackled. See, shackled. Bam, I see the shackles. Imprisoned, I see the four walls. I see the wrought iron whatever thing closing on me, right? Huh? A tomb. Entombed. It's creative, Cameron. Very creative. Okay, so do you get it? You get an understanding? You have an understanding of what I'm saying? Of having descriptive words? Now, how many of you are writers or bloggers? Your blogging will dramatically change if you begin to communicate in word pictures. And you use word pictures and phrases that literally create the scene in the reader's mind. That's how you're going to get a whole lot more shares of your blog. That's how your blog will grow, is emotional content that creates a word picture. They see a movie going off in their head. They're emotionally connected to it. That's the most powerful writers in the world. That's what they're able to do, is they are able to create a scene in your head. Okay? All right, so I think we have enough words for debt. We had a few words for relationship. Whatever it was that was your need, that you came here to get filled or at least a better understanding of, write that down in your problem. Then your solution is, I went to First Steps to Success, and now you give the results. What were the results? Now listen, some of you are really hard on yourselves, and that can sometimes be beneficial, and it can sometimes bury you and take the life right out of you, take in the life right out of your lungs. If you're one that is really heavy-handed on yourself, why don't you just flip that over and go the other direction and be super encouraging to yourself. Just flip it over. You have results. How many of you have gotten results since First Steps to Success? So write the results down. Cameron just told me, which was crazy, Cameron just told me on the break that he and his wife came to First Steps last March. Everything in their life has changed. He went from First Steps in March to May creating a dynasty, got a hold of job domination, doubled his income. Were you planning on doubling your income this year by chance? Was it ever in the scope of your imagination that you even could double your income in 2017?
I was looking for a 5% raise.
You were looking for what?
A 5% raise.
Oh, booyah. 100% raise is what he got. That's crazy. That's nuts. He and his wife also conceived a baby. They went from dynasty to hot marriage secrets. Results is right, baby. Fruit in the womb. Fruit in the womb. Okay? They get pregnant. The baby, it looks like she has a miscarriage. But she didn't. That little baby is fighting and coming when?
June
of next year. Okay? So, why were you looking for a 5% raise?
I felt inadequate as a provider.
Ooh. Booyah. Did you write that down?
I did.
Nice. I felt inadequate as a provider. That touches so many men. I felt inadequate as a provider. That has all kinds of emotion all over it. So I was looking for a 5% raise. Looking for strategies where I could increase my income by 5%. Well, I failed.
Marginally.
Well, I failed. After plugging into First Step Success and creating a dynasty, I did not have a 5% increase in my income. But instead, I doubled it. That's this young man right here. How many kids do you guys have? How many kids? How many kids?
This will be number two.
Number two. That's awesome. Congratulations. He's so funny. He says, my ruby child. He was just fighting. The baby fought. Isn't that amazing? Wouldn't that be funny if it actually turned out to be a ruby? Okay. So, real simple. What your name is, where you're from, what the problems were. Using descriptive words that create word pictures and cause emotion in the listener and even maybe even in yourself. Went to First Step Success. Here's my results. So you list those results. Then the last step is a call to action. Every presentation has to have a call to action. Every presentation has to have a call to action. If you do not give a call to action, how many of you do not know what a call to action is? Do not know. Okay, cool. Thank you for raising your hand. A call to action in the marketing world, the sales world, a CTA, okay? Abbreviated, a CTA. A call to action is exactly what it says. You're calling the listener to take action. You're giving them the opportunity to make a decision. To do what? In this case, what are we giving? It doesn't matter what you sell, actually. What are you giving them an opportunity to do? to change their life and to get the same results you are getting, right? So the call to action sounds something like this. So I highly recommend you get registered for January 19th, 20th, and 21st, San Diego, First Steps to Success now. Not whenever you can. So whenever you can, you might want to go to DannyJohnson.com and get yourself registered. That is not a call to action. A call to action is a line in the sand. That's the close. It's a line in the sand. This is the next step. And you can use that as a bridge into your call to action. Your next step is. In fact, let's use that one this time. Your next step is. That's an assumptive close. Your next step is. Let's try that together. Your next step is. Your next step is. Now, doesn't that give you a word picture? Sure does, doesn't it? Your next step is. Register for First Step Success January 19th through the 20th in San Diego, California, now. That's a call to action. It's an assumptive close and a call to action. And when are you telling them to do it?
Now.
Pearls, you can say now. You can say now. Nothing happens unless you will say now. And I know how much you care about lives being changed. I know how much you care about people coming out of the suffocation and the pain of poor relationships and debt and suffering financially. I know you care desperately about that next generation not repeating the past of the parents and the past generations. So therefore you, in order for you to help these people, the word now is really important. Now is urgent. Whenever you can is not. Words are powerful. Now is urgent. Whenever you can is an excuse. Opens the door for excuses. Okay? So let's say your next step is. Your next step is. Ready? On three. One, two, three. Your next step is. Cool. All right? So what your name is, where you're from, what the problems were. Prior to DannyJohnson.com, I was bam. Descriptive words. Then I went to First Step Success. List out the solutions. What happened? You're not going to talk about I learned how to form people. That's a feature of First Steps that only grads know what that means. So when you say form, you just confuse the listener. There are certain words in your presentations that are confusing people because you're speaking in code. Just like, for example, if I started to say, all right, the next thing we're going to talk about is the CTA. How many of you did not know what a CTA was? Right? So that means I confused you. Now you're like, what's a CTA? What's a CTA? Now, as soon as they start going, what is a CTA? They're no longer listening anymore. You lost them. So that's why you have to speak in terms of what they understand, which is why I asked the question. When I said call to action, how many of you do not know what that is? Then I taught you what CTA is. Got it? So, but for this audience, I can now say CTA. Who knows what a CTA is? Who knows what form is? Who knows what GEMS is? Who knows what War on Debt is? But guess who doesn't know what it is? Everybody outside those doors. Okay? So you can't use those terms. And that's selling the features instead of the benefit. The benefit is the results. That's what you sell. Everything that you sell is always selling the results. You're not ever selling the features of the thing. You are selling the result. This is what happened to so-and-so. Story, 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 story. Facts tell, story sell, okay? So, your name, where you're from, prior to DannyJohnson.com, I was descriptive, suffocating words. You're explaining what the problem was, not in great detail. Went to First Steps to Success, And here's the results. Do not say GEMS. Do not say war on debt. Do not say form. Don't say any code words at all that the person listening doesn't understand. Okay? The next step is get registered for First Steps to Success, January 19th, 20th, and 21st in San Diego now. The Pearl said now. Okay, she did it. Good job. All right. That is going to easily be a 30-second story for you. Okay? Let's go ahead and try it. You're in your group of four. There's going to be a 30-second, not bell, buzzard. Can we hear the buzzer, please? Ooh! Okay. Person number one, you're first. Raise your hand. Person number two. Person number three. Person number four. Okay, that's the order it's going to go in. You got 30 seconds to share your story. Person number one, actually, let's person number one to person number two, person number three to person number four. Okay, don't share it in a group, share it one-on-one. So the person you're sitting next to, go for it. So person number one is talking to two, person three is talking to four. 30 seconds, go. Okay. Shh. Who did it in 30 seconds? Who didn't do it in 30 seconds? Okay. Now switch. Person number two is telling number one, and number four is telling number three. Go. All right, who did it? Who did it? Okay, awesome job. Now, here's what I'm watching. Some of you forgot to smile because you rubies are so focused on completing this in 30 seconds. Okay? Now, listen up. If you are more worried about completing it and doing it right, emeralds, you're doing it wrong. We're supposed to be communicating, not winning. Getting the sale is going to be the win. Doing it right is not going to get the win. Do you understand? So how do you get the deal done? Let's try a couple little tips. Keep looking on your paper. There's some reminders. Number one, what's the first reminder? What does that say?
Smile.
Oh, how many of you forgot to smile? Yes. Listen, the more you smile, ching, 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 ching. You're going to make more money smiling, I promise you. Way more money than ever frowning. I don't care if you're an engineer or you are a mortician. Seriously, even if you are a mortician, if you smile, you're going to sell more caskets. People will recommend you. Everyone has someone dying. Okay. The second thing on the list says what?
Nod.
Nod. I'm supposed to nod. Can you nod for me? Nod, because what does this say? Yes. What does nodding say? What is nodding communicating? Yes. Yes, you're nodding at that person that you're talking to because you are communicating you're going to say yes. Why? Because who doesn't want to change their life? Everybody wants to change their life. Everybody needs to change their life, right? I don't care how great we're winning already and how much on top we are. The on toppers want to go what? Topper, topper, baby. I was going to say topless, but topper, topper, baby. We want to go higher, right? Everybody wants to go higher no matter where it is, how top you are, right? So you're going to nod. You're going to smile. What's the next thing on the list? There's a microphone in your mouth. It means you're supposed to say something. Number three.
Eye contact.
Yeah, that's good. You're doing it right now. Yeah. Eye contact makes you more money. makes you more effective communicator, causes people to trust you and to believe whatever it is that you're talking about. Even if you were the one that started the business picking up poop for a living, it doesn't matter. If you're smiling, nodding, and have good eye contact, you are more believable and you are disarming that prospect. And they're just connecting with you and they don't know why, they just like you. Why? Because eye contact, nodding, and smiling, guess what? It's honoring. So simple. And everybody likes to be honored. There's nobody here that likes to be dishonored. Everybody loves to be honored. Eye contact, smile, and nodding. Yeah. Cool. What's next on the list?
Anchor with positive. Oh, sorry. Building
two. Now, this one you have to pay attention to. Anchoring your words. I have been anchoring my words the entire time that I've been teaching this thing called 30-second story. So what words did I just anchor? Words and anchor. How do you anchor words? It's a little tiny pause. That's it. What did I just anchor? Pause. So you anchor the words by having a slight little pause after a word. And that's the word that gets planted in their heads. Which words did I just anchor? What was it? Planted, words, and pause. Those words were planted in your head because of a slight little pause. What word did I just anchor? Little. You got it? So it's just a little pause. That's it. What was the word that I anchored? Pause. Okay? So when you go now to share your story, what will be the first thing that you do? Smile. What will be the second thing you do? What's the third thing you're going to do? What's the fourth thing you're going to do? Oh, what the heck? I skipped one. You got me, baby. But actually, that already, you're already doing that with your problem, the problem that you state. You're already doing that. But anchor your words. I want you to star the anchor my words. This will make you a very powerful communicator in your meetings, your presentations and closing deals, solving problems with your kids. It works exactly even better on the phone. It's a slight pause. It's not a long pause. A long pause makes people feel uncomfortable. But just a slight little, not even a half a second, it's just a small pause. I just finished doing it. See how engaging it is?
I can't even focus on the
he's like, I can't even focus right now because I'm like so engaged. Yes.
Question about how do you have practice authentic long-term smiles? How do you practice authentic long-term smiles? Like, because not everyone can do that. We were discussing it, and it's hard for some people to hold a smile a long time.
Really?
It's not mine, personally. We were just discussing it as a group.
Because you're doing it really well right now, very naturally. Said,
like, but you're like, when you said, talk like an emerald, and everyone stopped smiling and was like, flat face.
I'm an emerald. Do I not smile?
You definitely do. No, you definitely do. So any tips for how to do a long-term authentic smile?
Here is my biggest tip on how to smile. Rachel, do you have this? Because I'm about to give the mic drop of all mic drops on how to have a consistent, authentic smile. You just smile. Why? We have all frowned for so long that we have forgotten to smile. It really is it. We've just been practicing a frown. So you said, how do you practice an authentic smile? Well, let me ask you. Okay, well, I guess some people have a fake one. This is really not a good idea. Okay? That's probably not the best way to do it. But just smile. Check this out. A smile changes how you feel. A smile changes how you feel. So the very practice of a smile changes you. I've tested this, trust me, man. I've had some crap things happen first thing in the morning where I just want to kick everything that is around me. I want to cuss everybody out. I want to take my fist and throw it through the wall. But I know that that's not helpful and conducive for my family or my career or, you know, for the kingdom of heaven that's watching. So, you know, I one day I'm like, I actually pressed play to something that was teaching about smiling, this teaching, this chick that screams at people from this event called First Steps to Success. And I happened to press play and it talked about smiling and I'm like, I made the decision. All right, fine, man. I should probably just practice it today. And I couldn't believe how fast my entire attitude changed and my entire day flipped from a bad one to an amazingly productive one, simply with a smile. And we're in control of whether or not we show our ugly teeth or our beautiful ones. We are. We're in control of that. So if you want to affect your attitude, you are going to practice this thing called smiling. It changes everybody's day all around you, I promise. It really, really does, okay? Now, do I smile 100% of the time? No, fools. What do you think I am? A robot? No, but do I have to consciously remind myself to smile? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I have to consciously remind myself to smile. There's always something to smile about, isn't there? It naturally makes you think about positive things when you smile versus the other way around. I'll force myself to think about positive things. Just practice this right here, and it's automatic. It releases endorphins. It does the same exact thing to you that a drug does. Does the same exact thing to you that three beers does. Well, for some of you, that's not enough because you need about 12 to do something for you. But you understand, for a lightweight, it takes one or two beers to put a smile on their face. Okay? That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you understand what I'm saying. It does the same thing. It releases endorphins. So just... Yeah, chocolate. Chocolate does the same thing. You're like, awesome! No, smile and forget the chocolate. You'll burn calories without eating the chocolate, but get the same effect. Can you smile and eat chocolate? It depends on your goals. I have a goal to look better at 50 than I did at 40, and chocolate is not quite on the list of things that are helpful and conducive to me looking better at 50 than I did at 40. Does that make sense? Yes. Yes. Okay, cool. So we're going to do this again, but we're going to anchor our words. You ready? All right. So now I want 1 and 4 and 2 and 3. Time out. Sorry. Talk to the person in front of you. So the people facing the wall, person number 1, raise your hand. And 2, raise your hand. 1 and 2 at the same time. You're going first. You're going to tell your 30-second story to the people that are in front of you. When the buzzer rings, then they go and share the story. Anchor your words. Smile. Eye contact. Nod. You can do this. It's your story. You don't need to read it. It's yours. You own it. On your mark. Shh. Get set. Take a deep breath. Go. All right, who did it? Wow, this is interesting. Who did it? Who of the 1, 2, 3, and 4 of the whole group? Who did it inside of 30 seconds? Okay, good job. Now, isn't that interesting? That was including pauses. Isn't that powerful? That's including anchoring your words. You're able to get through it. Connecting with the person emotionally is what's important, not rushing. Okay? So, I want you to tell your story by tomorrow night to at least 10 people. That's your homework assignment. To 10 people, you're going to tell your story to. How you're going to get good at your 30-second story is by what? Practice. If all you did was walk around telling your 30-second story, you can't even imagine what kind of business that you'd end up drumming up. Just with deleting your story. As you learn to tell your story, now you can tell other people's stories. You now can write your story. Okay? Another homework assignment you have, by tomorrow night, you will also form 10 people. You're going to form 10 people, and you're going to tell your story 10 times to 10 people. That's your assignment. I'm going to ask you tomorrow night, who did it? So you write the names down of who you talked to, and you're going to tell your story to that person that you formed. Okay? We're going to go to dinner. We're going to turn these chairs back. You're going to be back here at 7:10. Don't be late. 7:10. Oh, wait. I have another thing for you. Hold on, sorry. There's a form you're supposed to take with you. Let's get that out to them. It's how to be liked, how to get others to want to work with you. It's a checklist. And then on the other side is how to get others to not want to work with you, but to reject you. Some of you already have it, some of you don't. Okay? If you already have it, you can turn your chair around and leave. If you don't have it, wait to get it. Do this assignment on your hour and a half dinner break.